ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call this regularly scheduled council meeting together. And with that being said, we'd like to turn it over to Pastor Chris Glenn of the Carolina Beach Community Church for invocation.
Good evening, everybody. How are y'all this evening? Would y'all pray with me? Lord, we're meeting here today to conduct matters of business. We come to you asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion, allow us to grow closer as a group, and nurture the bonds of community. Bless us in our differences and undergird our courage to stand together. Fill us with your grace, Lord God, as we make decisions that will affect the residents of Cary Beach. In addition, continue to remind us that all we do here today, all that we accomplish, is for the service of the community. Guide our hearts and our minds in the spirit of fairness, right thought, and speech. Impart your supreme wisdom upon our activities so that our affairs may reach a successful conclusion. Thank you for being our source of guidance today. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have a motion to excuse Commissioner Finkley?
I'll make a motion.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Now, we have to approve the consent agenda. And gracious as well. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved. I'm going to approve it as presented.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Nancy, it's approved. Now, the adoption of the agenda, any addition or deletions from the agenda?
Yes. I would like to add an item that deals with our TDA marketing and drone goals.
I'm sorry, Emily, could you speak up a little bit?
It has to do with TDA marketing and the Durham Bulls.
Okay. You want to wait and put that in the new business under TDA meeting?
Sure.
Okay. All right. That's number two under new business. All right. Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Okay. Nancy, approved by David, and then seconded by himself, and then
seconded by Chuck.
All in favor, signal by saying aye. Thank you. Now, the adoption of the agenda has been approved, and we have first thing under adoption of the agenda, discussion, consideration, presentation to council. And Mary, I saw you back there somewhere. Oh, there you are.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Mary Toplong with Setup Events, the same company that put on the triathlon here in Cary Beach. And I think most of you have already heard that we're interested in adding a days of activities called Cary Beach Summer Sports Fest. The reason we decided to do this was sort of help out the town of Cary Beach in creating more business. We've always been here on the third weekend in June, which is already a busy season for you. So a couple things that we decided to do was, one, to move the date of the triathlon and sports fest back to the first weekend in June, which is your shoulder season, which should hopefully bring business to your hotels and restaurants that's not normally here. And second, by adding a second day of activities to bring our athletes to your town for twice as long, 2 days, spending and having fun in your community. So I think most of you have heard what we had planned for that day, events such as a softball tournament, a bocce tournament, a swim race, couple other things, cornhole tournament, a disc golf tournament. We've got a committee in place that can manage all of those events. And I guess the thing that you're probably wondering is costs. Setup Events is planning to take 100% of the risk on that. We feel fairly certain that this will make some money. But to start with, we are going to put out all the expenses that come with this. We'll be ordering t-shirts, any supplies, anything that's needed for this. Setup Events will write the checks. In the event, when this weekend is over, we turn a profit, we'll reimburse ourselves. Any money in addition to the expenses can be kept in a fund for next year's event, with a portion of it, we were saying 25% of it, going to the Education Park Fund, the new park, for the classrooms there. So there is zero chance that this will cost the town of Kern Beach anything. And in fact, a very good chance that the park and the classrooms will benefit from it. And again, bringing the business as far as restaurants and hotels. We plan to invite vendors, local vendors, to come out if they want to, if you have a hot dog vendor or an ice cream vendor that wants to come out and participate. So we feel like it's a neat thing for the community, a good way to add to your business, to extend your season a little bit. And that's what, that's our plan. I think most of you have heard it. So any questions that you have, I'm happy to answer. I did sort of outline it pretty much in way more detail than you probably care about, but it breaks down what we think is realistic expectations for the weekend.
Can you talk to the chairman of the different committees as far as police chief and the public works?
We have done that. I haven't made contact with Sonny yet. Regarding that, we have talked to Dennis, and I have spoken regarding what our needs will be. Different. We're going to move the triathlon to a Saturday. It's always been on a Sunday. Primarily, our reasoning for that was thinking our athletes aren't going to want to come in and play games on Saturday and all these other things if they have a race on Sunday. They're much more likely to participate on Sunday if they've gotten the race out of the way on Saturday. So that's the big move insofar as the triathlon. Dennis mentioned that he had some concern with that Saturday was a little bit busier traffic day. We've also moved the triathlon to start an hour earlier, so we're off the streets by 8:30 in the morning. That should be a significant help. I believe by the time Dennis and I were done with our conversation, we felt fairly comfortable that it was a very workable plan.
Is this June 2nd and 3rd? Is that what you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that's Memorial Day week.
The Memorial Day, the long weekend is actually the Monday prior.
Right.
And the kids are still in school, so it's, you know, I don't know how much of a holiday week it turns into. I think it's a long weekend and then it's back to school as normal.
Okay. Will you be taking care of traffic or the police department?
Well, for the triathlon, as we always do, we
bring in the whole weekend.
Uh-huh. Dennis and I said we would do whatever was needed. He discussed bringing additional officers in on an as-needed basis, have them, and see how it goes. The triathlon weekend, we always have several officers on duty to take care of the traffic needs.
And so do we. My son always ran that triathlon, so
yes.
I know Dennis himself is out there with several of his officers. I guess I'm wondering if we have to have extra officers for the whole weekend, if you worked anything out with him for helping to pay for that overtime.
Well, we always pay for the officers as part of our, you know, we've never asked the town to support the officers' pay for that weekend. Setup Events always takes care of that. And last year, for the triathlon, our fees to the town were $2,400, and that included the park use, the impact fees, the personnel insofar as police and vehicles, and the tent permit.
And as far as Public Works is concerned, I know you haven't had a chance to talk to Sunny, but would you be handling all the cleanup for everything so that...
We always do. We bring in a dumpster that we rent in Port-a-Johns, and we take care of everything. We also bring in our own recycling bins, and we encourage even in our... And all our registrations and everything, all the advertising that we do, we always encourage our athletes to recycle. We let them know that recycling will be on site.
Okay. I guess that was my next question, because we're really moving a lot toward recycling for special events here.
We do as much of that. We try to be as green as possible. When they saw me printing these things for you guys, it was like, you know, stop printing. We don't do, most of our stuff now, we just download and email to our athletes. We try to do our best in that area, and we're very, very conscious of recycling. And insofar as removing trash, you know this with your son being an athlete. We put on 150 races a year, triathlons, you know. Our income comes from the production of triathlons. It's not necessarily the sports fest and things that we're doing to sort of make ourselves more attractive to a community. But we rely on being welcomed into communities. None of us would have jobs, and there'd be no races if we didn't respect the communities that we came into. When we leave a community, you normally can't tell that we were there. Every piece of trash comes with us. If we messed up the sand, we break it. We try very hard, and I think we've been very successful at leaving things like we found them.
How late will this go on Saturday?
On Saturday, I did have put a schedule of events in here and didn't bring my glasses up to here. I think we've got things planned pretty much throughout the day. Up until as late as 10:30 for a bocce tournament. We will bring in lights as needed. And then on Sunday, we've got things wrapping up, the award ceremony at 4 o'clock, wrapping up by 5 o'clock.
Were you successful in procuring the signs from the DOT?
I haven't made contact with them. Before they'll even... they need a approved. They want me to say Curry Beach has approved this before they'll approve my rooms or anything like that.
Anything from the audience?
Speaking of the ground and having a motel down here on 4th Street, we need this. When I say we need it, it has worked before when they had that one-day event. The people came, they were very courteous. They stayed there, I guess, a lot of motels. They filled ours up, they brought their friends. Sometimes they come in a day early, sometimes they stay two days after the event, or at least a day. And we need this.
Thank you, Jim.
Also, I'd like to say one other thing pertaining to the Spring Fest. Myself and my family and a lot of other people are disappointed that we're not going to have it this year.
Yeah.
I think we should, but I understand there might be a safety issue having it with the park going on, but I hope we'll get it going again soon. Thank you.
Yes, David.
Ms. Toffler, so in your miscellaneous detail, it says there's not any street closures. What exactly is the street impact for the triathlon? I should know because I drove through it last year.
On the triathlon, we do close Dow Road from just out here to the just before the firehouse. So I'm not sure what the street is that comes afterwards, but all traffic is rerouted that way. For the festival on Sunday, there should be no traffic. There'll be no road or lane closures whatsoever.
So what time is the road closed to?
It's usually, we're usually with the time change from making it an hour earlier, we should have the road open by 8:30 a.m.
And is that, Dennis, I know Saturday is a bigger issue, but is 8:30 still okay from the street loading? I know we don't know the answer, but what
you thought? That's all we can do is try to manage it. I mean, you've got both southbound lanes are, you know, this one's totally blocked off, and then the Fort Fisher Boulevard, we just have to manage that traffic the best we can once the race starts. And because it's the crossover is at N Avenue, Fort Fisher Boulevard and N Avenue, right. So we'll just have to see how that goes.
And it's from what time until 8:30? How long?
The race starts at 7 a.m. So you'll see the first person on the road. Of course, those roads get closed a few minutes before 7. The first person on the road will be
7:15. Okay. 7 to 8:30. Okay. Yes, sir. Good, Sam. I just, Ann Brodsky, hi guys, it's been a long time since I've been back here. Hey, guys. Again, I'm glad I'm back. I have like 7 different hats I'm going to be wearing, and I'm going to be doing a presentation every year. But one of the things I want communities to really think about is how important this is. The efforts that they are making, every question you were asking, Emily, the answer is there. The money is already there. It's not touching any of our money. I mean, we should, but that's another topic.
No, we should.
But as far as getting the hotels booked, getting our restaurants taken care of, the minimal amounts of impact that our traffic has to stop for a moment, you know, it's good. We're wanting our people to slow down to 25 miles an hour. That's perfect. Slow down and watch the people and parade the people. As a business owner right on Fort Fisher, with the 47 properties that we have up and down, I've never seen anything adverse about this event at all. And I think making the effort to go that step further is absolutely outstanding. So that's my Kiri Beach all-year shirt that I'm wearing. Thank you.
I'd just like to be sure that our police department and our public works department and the fire department, too, are on board and know everything that's happening and, you know, there are no surprises.
Absolutely.
Yeah, after Ann's talk, I'm ready.
We've been doing it for years, Emily.
That's true.
Nothing's different. We're just doing better.
And my son works for Setup, so I can't even vote on this. But I would like to say, though, because I had mentioned this to Bill before, that if you carry this through, I hope you will have something in one of the events, if not several of them, for people with disabilities, either working with Special Olympics or whoever, to, you know, have their teams come out and participate also.
That's interesting because Billy is managing the tennis, and she also works with the Special
yes,
Olympics.
She does.
So that's a really great tie-in that we haven't thought of, to be quite honest.
We have a softball team. We have a great bocce team that we would like to participate.
I think that's awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say as a hotel owner also that the lots of the monies from staying, the hotels in Kiri Beach wouldn't let them just stay one night. You don't know how many calls I would get for one night. I would, because I've got a smaller location. But those people, instead of staying elsewhere in Wilmington, will stay here for two nights. They'll be at local restaurants for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they're always a good time. They're always a plus. They're always friendly. They get along great with one another.
We could go to bed at 8 o'clock.
We had more conversations and, you know, at the pool about different things about it. You know, and I've been doing this for years, and I've always extended the one night because it was a triathlon. It was something for Kiri Beach. And I always let them stay later so that they could do the race, come back, get a shower, and then, but like I said, I was smaller to do that. But it's a positive people, and if making it two nights is going to bring more hotel, motel money into the area because they refuse so many times for the one night.
And again, moving it to that first weekend in June, which is normally not your, that is a shoulder season, we are hopeful that rooms that were going to stay vacant are now not going to be. I feel like we will fill up your hotels. And the other thing that I don't know if you realize that we do is on our website, when we advertise the event, we list every one of the hotels and give as much detailed information as we have, phone numbers or websites, anything that we can do to help in that manner, we always do. We always encourage people to stay in Curry Beach.
That's it.
One last question to answer what you were saying. The weekend, after Memorial Day, it's a dead weekend for us. It's an absolutely quiet weekend. This fills up our shoulder season. And again, shoulder season gets filled up, your coffers get filled up off my tax dollars, and life is good.
May I ask Gail a question, either Gail or Greg? On our summer concert series, do we have a concert scheduled on Friday, June the 1st?
No, there's the 2nd or Friday of each month.
Okay.
This year.
That would be George Turner, the owner of Pure Beach Diner, he was going to try to get him for this. He and I had a conversation this morning, and he's 100% behind having it because he knows what they're doing for his restaurant.
Okay. Question. Yes, sir. Hey, Tommy.
I was supposed to go to church on Sunday, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Which you should all know. We all go to church on Sunday, ma'am. That's going to tie us all up on Sundays.
Okay.
That's going to be bad.
Insofar as the parking or?
Yeah. We all go to church on Sunday.
Because we normally have the triathlon on Sunday. And we have always arranged, we block the parking in front of it.
That's the only time most of us are in church at that time, at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you.
It should be better this year, Tom.
Most of us are going to be crouched by the time we get to church on Sunday. That's the only reason.
God understands crouchy.
That's the only reason.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to the department. Anybody, Dennis, Sonny, and Arlen, and John, and Nancy, have any questions? You're all on board and have all your answers?
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion that we support the triathlon. Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
We have an abstention over here. Okay, with that said, you have the majority of the council on your side.
Thank you very much.
Point of order here. That abstention is an affirmative vote.
Yes.
So you need to vote to recuse.
You need to vote to recuse. Then you got a request to be recused from the vote.
Mr. Attorney.
Ma'am?
Maybe you can advise me, since my son works for setups, should I recuse myself instead of abstaining?
Not really. No, you know. We're not spending any money here.
Can we just add one thing? So the reason this came back to council was because this came out at our retreat that the department heads didn't know. So you're still here, right, ma'am?
I am here.
Yes. So next year, when we get on track for this, I know we have committees and everything, but the department heads need to be involved much earlier, right?
And I apologize. I think it was a misunderstanding. I thought that Bill Scott came in October in front of council, and I don't know where.
They did in front of council, and so council may not have given you good advice. I don't know. I mean, I was sort of here, and then it dropped off the radar. But what I'm saying is, for next year, the department has needed to be involved much earlier. That's my only concern, right? So you'll want to do this again. How many years have you done this?
The triathlon?
Yes. In Curie Beach?
I don't even know how many years, because I've been here for 3.
Okay, fair enough.
You've been here longer, your dad's been here longer, 10 years.
It's been enough that we should have figured out how to do this, right? So my preference, and council can speak for themselves, is the department heads are surprised at a retreat from a committee member talking about an event that's going to be this big. So, you know, next year, at least this one vote in this corner will be very dim if that happens.
And it won't, because
fair enough, that's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking.
We're having this conversation.
Good enough.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you.
Greg?
Yes, sir.
Pull a hand up for you guys.
Thank you, Roger.
My name is Greg Runnels. I live in now around Carolina Beach. I'm Assistant Director of the Pleasant Island Chamber of Commerce. And Mayor Lambeth, Mayor Burton Keener, Commissioner Heckler, Steve's not here, and Emily Swearingen. Welcome and congratulations on the folks who got reelected, and welcome back everybody else. Just kind of briefly, we're here to discuss some of the items that we that the chamber puts on, and kind of give a brief history of the ROT funding. Just a lot of the things that we do, the chamber does do, that I'll get into in the second half of the presentation, is we couldn't do that through marketing tax. We'll have some discussion about that. And we've got a couple of slideshows for you, just kind of brief, and I'll have a privacy to discuss the history of the ROT funding. And with that, I'm going to introduce Anne.
My computer keep going up.
Up the top?
I'm sorry, yeah.
Today. One of them is Curie Beach resident. The other one is a Curie Beach business owner. Oops. Then I have, is this one from next? Yeah, I'm the vice chair of the Chamber of Commerce. I don't think I have one on my back, but here's all my volunteer stuff. And I'm also on the board of directors for the TDA. So I'm going to just give you a brief overview. Basically, y'all know some of this. But just a reminder, where does the money come from? Where does the money go? You know, a lot was put in place. You can read it yourself. The gross amount of taxes off my sweat equity as a hotel owner. Good example, last year, my dinky little hotel made $500,000. That's a lot of money. Now, granted, I don't have that money, but that's how much money we made. And what happens with the room occupancy tax, 13% of that were taxes. Of that 13%, a percentage comes to Curie Beach, directly to Curie Beach. That's called the room occupancy tax. $20,000 off my back came right into the coffers of Curie Beach. $20,000 for Nancy. $20,000 for all the other hotels here in Curie Beach. We're talking a projected $287,000 in the pockets of Curie Legion. That's coming from our hotels. So the young lady that was before me talking about why it's important because we want to get that money in here. We want to get that money in so we can do our lifeguards, so we can pay our police, so we can get more equipment and a variety of other things. Which quick? Click. Okay, it's brief again. When you have the 13% taxes, the first 3% go to beach renourishment, which is very important, and the 40% go to the TDA, which is a Tourism Development Authority. But, one more? You do. Okay. The second 6%, and that was what I was talking about, with the $20,000 just off of the money that I brought in at my hotel, that came from the lodging. That money is used from any kind of lodging, any kind of vacation rentals, and so on and so forth. That money should be going back to the community on whole. Again, a good example is the police department, the activities that go on, and a good example of that would be what I'm hoping that we would all understand, the concerts. More than 500 people show up to those concerts. And that's part of where the tourism dollars comes. Again, next. Okay, here's the projected. Curie Beach alone made so much more money than our sister Carolina Beach and in Wrightsville Beach. Even with the economy taking a slump, we had a steady increase. We did quite well because our shoulder seasons were filled in. So this year, we are projecting for the fiscal year, $289,000 into the coffers of Curie Beach. And that's as far as I was going to go, and the rest is yours. Does anybody have any questions right now? Can I take off some of these hats? I'm not sweating here. So that's pretty much where the money is coming from and where it's coming. Somebody have any questions? Okay.
Incho.
When all else fails, read instructions.
That's kind of an overall history of it. Curie Beach has done very well compared to Wrightsville and Carolina Beach in percentage. When everybody else kind of slumped after 2007 and are just now catching back up, Curie Beach has gone steadily and straight up. This past year has been an incredible year for Curie Beach. Hopefully, a lot to do with the town's activities and hopefully it's also the chamber's activities. We'd like to continue that. Just overall, the funds we're requesting is for the summer concert series down at Fort Fisher. As Neil said earlier, the second and fourth Fridays of June, July, and August, total six concerts. We're requesting $8,000 from the ROT funds. These are not general tax dollars, these are actually paid for by the tourist heads on beds tax. This is the same amount we've received from Curie Beach since 2009. You've actually been funding this since 2004. The actual cost for us last year was around $9,300. The difference being we have a TV commercial that runs every 2 weeks on WAY. We have radio, we have print ads, and so it's we fund a little bit of it because it's a free concert series. We ask Curie Beach to fund this. As you can see, this is a poster from last year. Here's Mayor Dean on stage. As you've been out there, it's a wonderful time. It's one of the best locations you can have on this island. Beautiful sunsets. Very well appreciated by the local folks and the tourists alike. This year, I don't know if you remember, we're actually having another event, Bluegrass Bottom River on May 12th, and this will be another, hopefully we'll fill up to Curry Beach Hotels, and it's our first one, it'll be a one-day event, hopefully turn it into a two-day event. Just so you know, there's, we're ever growing, trying to make sure there's things for folks to do. This is on May 12th, this is prior to Memorial Day, again, the shelter season, the hotels are already typically full. And just some of the chamber events, so you know the different things that we do. We have the Secret Blues and Jazz at Fort Fisher in October, Chattel Cook-Off coming up in April. We have the Beach Music Festival in June. We have these 15 movies during the summer months up at the Carolina Beach Lake. Again, we have the free concerts. We have a charity auction, which we're moving from May to September this year. I'm sure you're familiar with the fireworks that we have on the boardwalk along with the music. Again, the last little rated size of the Bluegrass Festival. So the charity wants to bring a number of events, and we're just asking for Curry Beach to fund the free concerts as we've done in the previous years. Overall, it's $8,000 with the help of Curry Beach, Caroline Beach, our sponsors, and volunteers. We can keep bringing quality programs. Again, just so you know, the sponsorship began in 2004 with Curry Beach funding the free concerts. The amount we're asking for is the same amount that we have been receiving since 2009. What we do, well, the unfortunate part of it, the marketing has already begun on this. The CBBs want to know when they can release the concerts. We need a commitment from the Curry Beach. We understand the budget reasons. You don't really have your budget until after June 30th. Again, we just need to get some type of commitment from you guys so we can go and sign the contracts. Without your commitment, your funding on this, we probably would not be able to have these concerts. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
So what exactly do you need as far as commitment?
Just overall, maybe just a strong poll if you guys are for it, want us to continue. We do understand with budgets, just for Carolina Beach, we just did last month. If that's one of the lines that Mayor Rothrock said, if the council give it, the council can take it away. If the money's not there, we know there's a problem. Hopefully, we have to go with what's happened in previous years. The Curry Beach has steadily increased their RT funding. We're smart enough not to ask for more funding right now. Mm-hmm. When everybody's raking in the money, we'll come and do some more programs down here. Mm-hmm. We've got a park ready, we'll do a lot of different things. Right now, we just want to stay steady state, keep doing what's been working.
Yep.
Chuck, Jamie.
We do have an application for outside agencies on the website, or I'm sure or we'll have it on the
website. I think
sure
we have it next week.
Friday.
Possibly.
As soon as it's available, we'll
have it. She can get it for you, and that's, just to put all the bases.
But, Arlen, how did we do that last year? So I assume they asked for a similar commitment last year, right? Or no?
Yeah, it was the same amount, and it was... If there were TDA funds available, that we would use them for the concert series. Just at this point, we're still not sure they were available even for this current year yet. So.
As a TDA representative looking at what are in the coffers, it does appear there is that money.
Well, our budget so far, lifeguards are 150.
It's projected 165 by CBB. If all things go right, and you have to request 145, but it's getting ready to March.
If we were to have a hurricane, we could be hurt. But anyway, thank you.
So when do you need this commitment by?
Well,
we had to figure out the timeline, right?
Our timeline, last year we started signing contracts right after this meeting. So it's really, we're all going on faith that if we see the four of you saying you're forward of funding available, that's what we need to know.
So am I. So, I'm not sure how we hold the council for that, but I think if we pass it the way... Arlen proposed that contingent on TDA funds being available, I make a motion that we, I don't know how we do that, say we're committed.
That's right. Have consensus.
Yeah.
You can have a consensus, or either you can just make the motion that if funds are available in the DDA fund, fund this chamber that council so approves.
Then I still make the motion.
I second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. Thank you, Greg.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
I have a question. Good choice. Is there a way you could start those concerts later? It seems like people are still on the beach and we're all kind of busy.
Well, we started at 6:30. It's on a Friday.
Yeah.
A lot of the feeling is that
it's already it's dark on the end, and that's kind of we don't have lights.
Oh, there's no lights.
Budget, and it's just we're trying to just get everybody out there before we see dark. It runs from 6:30 to 8:30.
Right. I mean, we're always there. It just seems like people are late getting there, and then you're always hurrying trying to get there.
So we used to have them at 6, and then by 9:30 to 6:30, and it's a little bit better.
It helps.
I don't know.
But we still have quite a lot of people there.
Oh, yeah. It's not bad. It's just,
thanks, you, Greg.
It's just hard to read.
Good luck, sir.
Thanks. Dr. Mark Wild Ramsey, Director of Underwater Archaeology and the branch of the North Carolina Cultural Division, will now speak to us about the proclamation that wants us to sign.
Thank you, Mayor Landers, and commissioners. I live in Wilmington. My name is Mark Wild Ramsey, but I spend about a third of my life down the road at the Underwater Archaeology Branch, which is located on the north end of the parking lot at Fort Fisher. And just wanted to let you know about an event that's coming up that's very important to us. And it has to do with a blockade runner, a bridge blockade runner, called the Modern Greece. This is a depiction that may be it wrecked. It was one of the first to wreck during the Civil War in the June 27th of 1862. It wrecked right down off of Ocean Dunes, just above the fort, and was an important vessel. It was one of 30 that was lost. Wilmington Rui was the one that provisioned the Confederacy for many years, for the last 2 years of the war. It was these fast blockade runners that were bringing supplies in and protected by Fort Fisher and all the fortifications. This is a typical blockade runner. The Bonner Grease was not a typical blockade runner. It was an early vessel that was bringing in a huge amount of supplies. In 1962, 100 years after it sank, during the 100th centennial, Navy divers came down on a vacation and were directed to dive on the site. An Easter storm had uncovered it, and they literally started pulling up cargo, war supplies. The Department of Archives and History and the Navy began a huge salvage operation for a couple summers. It's brought up over 11,000 artifacts, and these are artifacts or cases. One artifact would be a case of 24 rifles. So it was many more times that. It was an important discovery because it really confirmed and added to the types of artifacts that were coming in. It wasn't just war supplies. It was a lot of luxury goods, things, supplies that really were needed in the, not only by the war soldiers, but also by the citizens to keep them happy. The lab, you can barely see it now, but that's the original building. What they didn't realize is that when these artifacts come up, they're full of salt and they're waterlogged, and it's quite a process. So North Carolina, at that time, 50 years ago, was on the cutting edge of developing all these techniques to get the salt out and to stabilize these bullets and different kinds of artifacts. And this is just some of it. Thousands of artifacts were stabilized. Some of them are down at Fort Fisher, but many of them are in the Smithsonian, all over the country, really. But not all of them were completed, and they were put in these tanks. I've been down at Fort Fisher working since 1977, and I never knew what was in these tanks, but I had heard that there were artifacts. And,
And so we had a team from East Carolina come down to help find out what it was last March. And over a course of 3 days, they brought out 3,000 artifacts that had not that were really forgotten artifacts. So we're in the process of getting the rest of the collection out. We'll have another session this coming March 5th and 6th and 7th to complete that process. But it's just hundreds of rifles, hundreds of axes, pick heads, all kinds of really amazing things. And they're all being now restored or replaced in new tanks inside our buildings, so they're protected. And the process of restoring these are beginning, and we hope over the next 3 or 4 years that much of this collection will be conserved, and it will be a great training exercise for students primarily, just as they were 50 years ago. So what I wanted to, that's going to be going on this spring, and it's all going to culminate in having an open house at our facility to show off not only the facility but all the modern Greece artifacts and this huge, wonderful collection, and talk about conservation and underwater archaeology. There'll be a symposium at the college, the university, on the 26th, and then on the 27th, which is a Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, is the 150th anniversary of the sinking. We will have a commemoration out. This is the gazebo on the north end of the ocean face there at Fort Fisher. There it is. It doesn't have any signage, and so we'll be putting out a sign commemorating modern Greece as the first and important, both in history, old Civil War history, but also modern history in the development of underwater archaeology. And we hope that this then leads to many more wayside signs throughout the community. The Beauregard is up off Carolina Beach. There are others at Fort Fisher. There's up in Wrightsville Beach, on down the coast in Brunswick County. And then we'll have a whole trail or district of wayside signs. But it will all culminate in Fort Fisher. That's the focus. And obviously, Pure Beach is the gateway to Fort Fisher. So that's our little, that was the original Fort Fisher Museum for a couple of years before the brick building was built. And that's where our little exhibit is now. So we appreciate your support, and Nancy's drawn up a resolution that we would love to have adopted.
We have in front of us, and would you like to read it, Mark, or do you want me to read it? Okay. This is Resolution R12-01 in support of the recognition and commemoration of the remains of the steam blockade runner modern Greece. Whereas the steam blockade runner in modern Greece represents one of the earliest attempts to use Wilmington as a port of call during the Civil War, and the first major loss occurring June 27, 1862, and whereas by war's end almost 100 different steam blockade runners had passed in or out of the seaport, providing commerce and supplies essential to sustaining the Confederacy. And whereas 100 years later, the wreck of the modern Greece became the focus of intense salvage during the Civil War Centennial, which led to the creation of the underwater archaeology branch at Fort Fisher. Whereas the branch continues today in leading the nation in underwater archaeology and conservation on the vast number of vessels lost within North Carolina waters. And whereas the commemoration of modern Greece will take place on June 27, 2012, with an official unveiling of an oceanside signage recognizing modern Greece site and its role during the Civil War. During the day, the underwater archaeology branch at Fort Fisher will open its doors to the public for a rare behind-the-scenes tour of its conservation laboratory that for 50 years has pioneered the conservation of marine artifacts, including a large modern Greece collection. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Curie Beach does hereby acknowledge the historic significance and commends the underwater archaeology branch at Fort Fisher by pledging its support in recognition and commemoration of the remains of the modern Greece in a ceremony to be held on June 27, 2012, adopted by the Town of Curie Beach on the 21st day of February 2012. And
also, I wanted to mention that we are in
have turned in the paperwork and are hopeful to get a highway sign commemorating or recognizing modern Greece. And it will be, I'm not sure exactly where it'll be placed, but it will be somewhere along Fort Fisher Boulevard.
You had time to discuss this with the...
We have, and I understand that it cannot be expedited for a number of reasons, but that will be we can announce that it's successful and put it up sometime this fall.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Doctor?
Do we have any questions?
As a point of information, I met your Navy divers when they were down there. They were diving off the Seven Sisters. Funky Curie and myself are the ones that put them on the modern Greece.
There we go. Well, and that's what we're hoping, that a lot of this will bring the history up.
There you go.
Yeah, just to add to that, for your presentation, you might want to invite Monty Curie, my grandfather, who was working public works and helped them with that, as well as Andy. There's probably some other people in town that actually were there during the South.
Yeah, that's really
there were a lot of infield rifles and lead bars, tin bars, and Pontifex and wood on there.
Oh, this is wonderful. And I gave a presentation up the road, and Skippy Winter had some comments too. And that's what we want to do, is bring out the history from the early days on up to hopefully some good sonar coming in the next few months.
Can I have a motion to adopt the resolution?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Yeah. Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, the resolution is adopted.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Mike Wilowski.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, I'm Mike Wilowski, executive director of the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization. Mayor Landis serves as the vice chairman of our board. We conduct transportation planning for this region of over 408 square miles, which includes all of New Hanover County, a portion of Brunswick County, and a portion of Pender County. What I'm here tonight to talk to you about is a comprehensive greenway plan that the Wilmington MPO, in cooperation with the City of Wilmington and New Hanover County, are getting ready to undertake. Just a little bit about the overview of the presentation. It talks about our guiding concepts, our vision, how we've established our vision, the scope of work we have hired a consultant to assist with the completion of this plan, and then to summarize our schedule. We have hired Alder Greenways. They're a nationally recognized consulting firm in the Greenways field. They've completed over 30 Greenway bicycle and pedestrian plans in North Carolina in the past 5 years, over 1,000 in the United States. They've also got on their project team Biohabitats, which is an environmental consulting firm, and Sage Design, which is a firm located in Wilmington. The guiding concepts for the completion of this plan revolve around transportation, recreation, connectivity, economic vitality, creating a healthy living, how the wellness community fits in this. We've created a slogan, it's called Move, Play, Connect. And it's a catchy phrase that we hope will help in the guidance of this comprehensive planning effort. The approach, we did have a kickoff meeting on January 19th. We have several steering committees. The steering committee is comprised of over 30 representatives that include members from the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority, North Carolina Department of Transportation, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, the city, the county, the local beach towns. We have asked for a representative from the town of Prairie Beach to sit on that stakeholders group. Next thing we'll do is we'll evaluate our existing conditions, look at what opportunities are out there, as well as the constraints. The plan includes public involvement, public participation. Once we get all this information together, we'll prepare a draft plan, and then a final plan and presentation. The final plan will include a brochure. As I mentioned, we did hold a kickoff meeting on January 19th. We did discuss and establish an executive committee. That executive committee is comprised of a representative from the city, a representative from the county, a representative from the town of Carolina Beach, a representative from the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority, as well as a representative from North Carolina Department of Transportation. We reviewed the scope of work, discussed the vision and the goals. We identified what plans are relevant to incorporate into this analysis, as well as we reviewed base maps to identify what opportunities are out there. We've identified opportunities and constraints, as I mentioned. What adopted plans and policies are there out there that should be reviewed? We'll review field work. What environmental features could prohibit us from building greenways in the community? We'll also take staff input. We'll utilize GIS mapping and conduct stakeholder interviews. We've got 20 stakeholder interviews in our scope, and so we've identified various organizations and groups to survey and get input on this planning effort. We are going to hold two sets of public workshops. Those will include public input maps, educational posters, newsletters, and comment forms. We have set the dates for our first round of public workshops, and those will be April 16th in the city of Wilmington at the city council chambers, April 18th at Carolina Beach Town Hall, and then April 19th at Ogden Elementary. The plan includes a project website. It's www.wilmingtongreenway.com. And that website includes the vision, what resources we're utilizing to develop this plan, the schedule, comment form, public survey, as well as interactive map, which I'll talk about here in a minute. We're using an innovative tool in order to gauge public input on this process. It's called Community Walk. This has been used in Greenville, North Carolina. And what you do is you actually go in, click on this map, and it'll ask you where you want, where you begin your route and where you end your route and how you would propose to move throughout the community. So it allows us to establish what origins and destinations are out there and then what routes people desire to take in order to get between that origin and destination. We have a public survey that's available. Today, I believe we received over 100 comments on this initiative. But that public survey is located on www.wilmingtongreenway.com. And you click on it and it provides several questions that allows us to identify some of our opportunities, our constraints in the community. So once we do all this background work, what do we get out of this plan? Well, first we'll get a map, and this slide demonstrates what's been done in Greenville, North Carolina. It identifies the locations of these recommended greenways in the community. We'll get draft design guidelines, technical specifications, how these trails should be built, what should they look like, what type of signage may be appropriate along these greenway facilities. And it's important to point out that we're not just talking about greenways, which are multi-use trails and linear parks and open space, but also we're talking about blueways. How do we utilize our access to the water features that we have built, and what types of paddle trails could be identified in the community that would allow canoers and kayakers to access our natural scenic features. The plan will include an operations and maintenance plan. We do realize that once we develop a plan and we put these facilities on the ground, they don't take care of themselves. There's got to be a plan to maintain these facilities once they're implemented. And so this document will include that. It'll also include recommendations for programs. How do we market the trail? As I mentioned, we came up with a slogan, which is Move, Play, Connect. But there's also programs out there, like the Adopt a Trail program, that can be used for maintenance, but it can also be used to market the trails that we build in this community. We went to Asheville a couple weeks ago, and they've got a significant amount of public effort, and they're building a base for outreach as far as their trail development. The plan will include land acquisition and funding strategies. We realize that once we develop this plan, it's not a plan that we want to sit on the shelf. And so we want to implement this plan, and so we will look to the guidance of the consultant to identify recommended funding strategies in order to implement the recommendations of this plan, whether it be through partnering with the Department of Transportation whenever they build a new facility, or it be through capital improvement program funds. So there's several different means and mechanisms to fund these facilities, and this plan will lay out those strategies. The plan will outline an implementation schedule, an implementation plan to take the plan from concept to reality. And then the final product will include a final report and a brochure The brochure will likely include a map and the recommendations of the plan. The timeline for the completion of this effort is we did have a kickoff meeting, as I mentioned, in January. We'll identify our opportunities and constraints in March, April. We do have our first set of public workshops set for the week I mentioned in April. We'll have a second round of public workshops in the summer. We plan to have a draft plan by July of this year. Go out to the community, go out to various stakeholders, present that draft plan, and then react to the comments that we receive, take those comments back, and develop a final plan. We do plan to bring this final document out to each of the boards and request adoption. And we do we're looking at December of this year to do that. I know that was quick, but I'm not here asking for support. What I'm here is to just share information, but I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Hello? Do you have any questions?
No.
I got them.
No, I asked all my questions. Thank you.
I understand the process. We'll see the plan when it comes up.
Do you want a person to serve on the committee with you?
We have asked for a representative from the town of Curry Beach to sit on that committee. It can be a member of staff or a member of the community. We do have various appointees from the various towns and municipalities.
And do we want to move forward with this tonight, or do we want to settle this?
Didn't ask for Chloe.
It's on your agenda under new business.
It's what?
It's on your agenda under new business.
John, I'm going somewhere.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's number three on the new business.
So anyway, do we want to make a recommendation on appointment, please?
Do we have someone that's interested?
I work with Mike.
Are you asking to be appointed? Is that what you're asking?
I work with Mike, and I would like to supervise the appointment of anybody on it, so to make sure they follow through with what council's wishes are, and that's the main thing. It's just not having one friend.
Didn't Steve say that he was interested in it?
I don't think so. Emily would make a nice appointment for this committee, and I would recommend Emily.
Oh, okay. Do we want to wait till new business, or do we want to do it now?
No.
Are you making a motion?
I'm making a motion.
Then I'll second.
All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, Emily, you're up.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, guys. Just one last time, I'm going to call up. And this is just a brief reminder again. I'll keep my 3 minutes on the
phone.
Just as a reminder, the quality of life on our island in Curie Beach is really increased through a lot of the programs. I just want to remind you again that those programs are paid for from the taxes from the hotels. Some of those things are the lifeguards, the beach renourishment, the street festival, the fireworks, and the Christmas show. Those are all coming out of the tax dollars from the hotel and vacation rentals owners. The other thing I just want to remind you real briefly, and it's something to be quite proud of, because of what we're doing here in Curie Beach, places like Texas, Rhode Island, New York, and Florida are coming to us and saying, hey, we like your model. How are you working things? How are you getting your community together? And that's something to be quite proud of. Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce are getting those responses or those requests frequently. And then finally, just to take a big picture, the number of volunteer hours are more than 3.5 full-time, 3.5 years 73000 number of hours actually equates to 3.5 years of a full-time person. And those are the number of volunteer hours that we're all doing, not only as a chamber, but also members of our community here in Kiri Beach. That's all I wanted to add.
Thank you, Anne.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Discussion and consideration of community business, community center, community request, approval of alcohol use in center rentals.
And that is me. I am Eleanor Johnston with the North Carolina Alcohol Beverage Control Commission. I don't have a presentation. I was asked by your community center folks to be available to answer any questions you may have when it comes to the service of alcohol in your community center. You have a copy of the one-time special limited special occasion permit in the top. Yes, sir.
Does Tom want to let Donna start?
You sure can.
So tell us why we brought this subject up.
Well, I apologize.
Okay.
And it's discussed the subject of allowing alcohol, some specifically just wine and beer, no liquor or kegs, at the community center rentals that we schedule. The issue came up last year, we know, and we didn't have enough information to give you. We didn't follow through. We had a busy year and somehow got lost in the shuffle. But it did surface again at our January meeting. We have new members. They've been helping monitor our reservation books. And it's very apparent in our discussions trying to come up with numbers that we've lost as many rentals as we've booked. And there's no accounting for the number of people calling that already know our policy. And I think it's substantial. So all we can tell you is that, yes, we are losing money. Research by one of our members, Connie Mangum, has come up with information about some other sites, and also the meeting we had last March with Parks and Recs Department staff in Hanover County. They gave us good information. They have policies that cover caterers, alcohol license, liability. They have been implementing these policies, I guess, for a long time, and they're very experienced in managing large facilities like Early Gardens down to, they have a Riverside community, I mean college, community center that is probably more like ours. They also rent out Halliburton Park, the Bent Center, and they have an executive business development center. So they have managed these programs and policies at all levels. And they are bringing in revenue. And that's why we're here tonight. We are losing revenue that we feel is important. I'll mention one other place, Southport, who also allows wine and beer at their facility. And they ask $400 an hour and have no problem getting it, given they are waterfront. And but as far as problems with noise or their ordinances or disruption, they have none. And the bottom line is they are bringing in quite a bit of revenue. And we feel that we would like to see some of that. We don't feel they're more capable or better equipped to manage this program than we are. We believe we can do it. And see no reason why, at least, we aren't given a chance to try. I went through 2011 rentals, and there were about 2021. Out of those 11 were wedding receptions and parties. There were like five HOAs, which really, if they have their 501c, get the discount, the nonprofit. Couple clubs and this sort of thing. But we know we lose more than 11 chances to rent that facility over a year. And here again, we feel that if, you know, the county's facilities, places like Southport, they're in family neighborhoods, and the county especially has really good rules. You can tell by their policy that they're concerned about family communities and use of it. So what we're requesting is at least a year's trial to see what we can do with this policy, and at any time, if whether the council or the committee feels that we should discontinue, we can. But we don't know unless we try. And I guess my personal opinion is we should be doing it. We should be using for the town all the capabilities of our facilities. And we would like to try it. So now, if you have any questions that I can try to answer, I will. Or I will let Eleanor Johnston answer any questions you have.
That's all your job.
What I do is I am the education and training specialist. I talk to all the bars, restaurants, convenience stores, people that apply for ABC programs about the laws and regulations, things they can and cannot do when it comes to alcohol. The Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce has a policy that all of its volunteers have to be trained before they serve alcohol at any of their events. Ms. Gail has me come, in fact I'll be there on April the 2nd. To the Carolina Beach Police Department to give the responsible alcohol seller server class. You have the application in front of you that somebody that is applying for the one-time special use has to fill out. There's a $50 fee. They have to pay the ABC commission. They can't be a felon. There's all these things they have to follow. But as most community centers and civic centers do, they have a contract that they also have the bride, the groom, whoever's renting the facility to serve any alcoholic beverages, very stringent on what they will and will not allow. I would say that most of my, and I travel 29 counties, most of my counties that aren't dry, I still have some dry counties, their community centers for the most part are pulling in that wedding business because we are coastal counties and people want to come here for wedding, you know, destination weddings. So if I can answer any of your questions, I'll be happy to.
Any questions, Daniel? Well, just, Chief, what's your thoughts?
I'm all for beer and wine.
Well, I am too. All for it. Am I
being for it right now, actually?
Yeah.
And I also ask, what's the approval of trying to get it during council?
You can't
have it when I'm in the room, though. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Traditionally,
and most people know, I've always been against this, because I think this, once we start, then it's going to continue on. But some ladies hit me up in the board the other day and threatened my life if I didn't go along with it. And I guess I'll be interested in seeing what the contracts say. And just seeing how it goes. My big concern is the liability.
Correct.
Of people having too much drink leading, being in an accident.
Correct.
And it being related to the town off Cary Beach.
Yes, sir.
Purely from a liability, the legal business point of view. I have no care one way or another.
I have contacts for these ladies to call. We would be happy to fax them copies of all the different contracts, Southport, Crystal Coast Crystal Coast Civic Center. The aquarium does a lot of them. They'll be more than happy to help and share what they have because it is a large revenue.
So the way I'm hearing you, though, you're saying that we would have trained servers that would staff that. Is that correct?
I would definitely want somebody that has had my class to be on site when you're having events. I definitely would, yes.
So to the community center, I look back through the notes. So kind of, at least in the past discussions, the thought is there would be a vendor
not you ladies doing the actual serving that had had the class? Is that still true or no?
You're not going to serve it.
Right.
So they want to make sure the caterer has our class or has some type of alcohol service class. And North Carolina law requires in 2008, if you apply for an ABC permit, you have to have an alcohol class. So what will happen is the caterer will have their permit, and you will have an individual, a family, a bride that will also have to apply for a permit. Okay. So there's two permits there.
So you're saying somebody from the community center would have to get every one of these events?
Yeah. Not if they have a caterer who has taken an alcohol class, is what they're saying.
And that was that correct? Yeah, that's correct. It was brought up. The community center does sponsor dances for the community. And these people, again, would obviously like a glass of wine, some beer, or something. How would that, would we have to get, we would have to get a permit.
We have to get a permit.
To bring it in, they bring their own.
Now, if it's an organization, say the Daughters of the Confederacy, and they want to have a dance and have alcohol, they get the permit.
Right.
But if it's the town of Cary Beach, have a, Ms. Gail, how many do you get a year?
Can you permit?
Uh-huh.
I just have to get one because I have liquor for one.
Yeah. You just apply for the permit. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
So with our dances, I've had your class several times.
Yes,
I could serve beer and wine and
you can't
dance also. And how does this also affect brown bagging? We don't do brown bagging, I'll be real honest with you. And I'll tell you why. You can apply for a brown bagging permit, but I have gone to the ABC store at Carolina Beach. I purchased a $7, $20 bottle of liquor. I bring it in, and you're going to tell me I've had too much to drink and I bought that bottle?
Yeah.
You're going to ask for trouble.
Right.
So you don't do that. You do beer, wine, and it's very managed. There is no self-service, and you have control. That's the best way.
We don't want any liquor.
We don't want any liquor.
No cakes. Well, we're this social culture. I mean, I don't know how to do it.
Well,
maybe
it's
not
Consensus Council.
I would like to see the community center move ahead with it. I mean, they've been talking about this even before last year when it came before us, and I'd like to see them at least try it. If it doesn't work, and we can always have enough complaints from the police department and our new noise ordinance and everything, we can certainly take it away.
Right.
I would really like to see our committee try it.
Well, so before we can try it, we need to get the contract. So I'm fine with giving them permission to move forward, but they got to bring back the contracts, which the attorney and the chief of police will review. And then, so I'm for it conceptually, but the devil's in the details, right?
Plus, you have to change two ordinances in the town that exist now.
Exactly right.
How long will that take? What are the steps in doing that? How long will that take, Rick?
For changing our ordinance?
Don't have to have a public hearing. No. So I'd say they shoot for like next month. They bring back just the information. The ordinance to be put on all that at the same time.
And the copy of the contract for the town is going to use.
Let's see what we get first. Let's don't rush it. And then all of a sudden you say, where is it?
We're happy to contact some folks and have them send you some copies of their contracts.
Yeah, that's important. We need to start with that and work up some of our caterer alcohol liability information or give us the
Nancy, you had a question.
Yeah, I just want to make sure the council clarifies if we're doing vendors only or if the town's going to get a permit, because if we do, then that impacts our property liability insurance. We have to get
covered. We don't want it.
Whatever you vote on it.
Clarify
which one you're.
I don't know how to, this is the only thing I know how to do, I guess, but I think conceptually the council has consensus for the community center committee to move forward and bring back a fleshed out proposal. So I think, at least for me, I'm in favor of looking at what you bring, but the devil's in the details, right? And I think at that time we need to look at the, is the exactly your question, Nancy. Are we just going to do it with vendors, or is there two parts to it? That's where I'm at. I don't know where the rest of you guys are up here.
The multiplicity of permits. I don't think the town wants to be charged with it. Let a vendor do it. Caterer do it. Whoever.
So is that good enough to move forward, Mayor and Nancy, or no?
So the consensus is for the community center to bring back a proposal and how this process would work, and whether it would be just for vendors or whether they also want the town to get a permit for them to serve.
And a copy of
the contract.
Copy of the contract.
Is that our consensus?
Do you have a sponsor for these dances they have? Do you have a sponsor like the ABC Club or the Streetwalkers Club or something? Like those people get the license and they would sponsor the dance.
What's that?
Belly dance or belly dance?
Thank you.
Ladies, and I'm sorry that Ann's still back there. You're hiding behind
me. Hiding?
You're hiding behind.
I don't think so.
As I'll talk about in a minute, the TDA has a new wonderful, wonderful website for the region and for the beach towns, including Kiri Beach. And one of the things on there are vendors that are available or places available for weddings, especially, maybe even reunions, but especially weddings. And our community center is not on that list. And maybe Ann can help work with you. In fact, I have the name, I'll give it to you before you leave, of a young lady that you can talk to find out how we can get listed on that list for concessions.
You have to go to the training.
Right. Well, Nancy and Nancy are going to the training on Friday, so they can work with you to tell you, you know, how you advertise things on there, but you really need to see to it that, well, this is a suggestion, you don't have to, but I think we should be listed on there as a site.
Thank you.
Yes,
I just want to say that the planner also, one of our other jobs is a wedding planner. And somebody calls about weddings, and we have a little wedding planner that we do at the chamber, and when people call in, we give them all the information. We'd be glad to add y'all as a place for a reception or a wedding, because they're always looking for a place to have a small reception.
It's hard to get
any place around.
And you have a lot of them mostly on.
So we'll be glad to put y'all in our wedding planner.
Gail, don't you have a booklet on that too? I think that's how this kind of got started. We were a little surprised that we're not in the booklet.
So, see, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Nobody told us that they wanted to be in there, so now I know.
Yeah.
And I'll get y'all added. I need a contact number for somebody who wants to be contact for the people that are in their wedding. So if somebody
Thank you, Annie. You can discuss that with them. Thank you. Consideration of no quorum. What?
Thank you, Eleanor. Thank you, Eleanor, for coming down.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Consideration of no quorum on Citizens Finance and Budget Committee and whether to dismantle or request application. Nancy, do you want to ramrod this?
We have five members allocated to the Citizens Finance and Budget Committee. We have one vacancy on that committee, so we only actually have four members serving and two have resigned. So we're in a situation where we have no quorum. So how the council wants to proceed with this? Do you want to advertise for applicants for that committee, or do you want to consider
disbanded.
We really only have one member left on the committee.
Right now, we still have two. Charlie Allen had said he was going to resign. We have an official. It's in the minutes from the February meeting that he resigned, but we have not.
So who's left?
Mark.
Ferrer and Charlie Allen.
Well, what is the council's recommendations? This committee that didn't accomplish much.
Well, I think as the rep, even though it didn't make one of their meetings because they didn't move the time, they did accomplish some stuff. However, I was on council when they were appointed. I think the committee was set up when we had some financial issues that I feel were pretty well resolved. And with Harlan's work, I feel comfortable with not reestablishing it since it's not required by North Carolina state statute.
Chuck?
Well, I know I talked to Grace today and they were working on a couple of things, but I talked to Harlan also. He can probably, by getting consulting with some of the members that were on board of Charter City and Go, they probably can do what they had planned on doing. And I think that he can cover that, what that committee is doing.
Emily?
I think the committee accomplished some things. I'm not sure they always knew what the direction was from the council, because I think it was maybe started back when some of us weren't on here, and I don't know, communication or whatever. They were not always certain what their mission was supposed to be, but they did work with Carolyn a lot on setting up our reserve funds and seeing to it that we have a good percentage working toward that. I'd say that's one of their biggest accomplishments last year, and very, very important to our budget. But I do know that Mark has offered his services to Arlen to help him or work with him whenever he wants. So.
Well, they've got two mission statements. So they had some problems. They're going to revise, and they got the citizens. So I'm in favor of just letting them disband. So with that said, we have a vote to disband them.
Wait a minute, you're missing one.
Yeah, I'll wait until he comes back. Mm-hmm. He didn't take a break soon enough.
We'll see.
And to be fair to the committee, I agree with what Commissioner Swearingen said. It been set up when Commissioner Porter was on council, and then he left, and we got a new finance officer. So they were, you know, it was a time with a lot of things going on, and there wasn't a whole lot of direction to them from council. That's exactly what their mission. But they came up with a great spreadsheet that I think Arlen intends to use.
Right, and we'll definitely use that during, you know, the budget.
Yeah, how we go forward and keep track of what we obligate to the one fund fiscal year, that we continue to keep that in our sights and not lose it. And they certainly were instrumental during our last session in asking good questions and giving us good information. Shall we talk about number four while we're waiting?
Yes.
A little soft shoe.
Clarification of retreat consensus items to have. Sorry, John. There's a memo in your packet under human business. That on January 17th, the last council meeting, you voted to amend the committee policy to add for renewals. There's no requirement to fill out new applications to be interviewed by committees. Prior to this, there was no way for someone serving on the committee to just renew their term. They had to come go back through the entire application process and be interviewed by the committee again. January 24th, in your retreat, you made a consensus that you would amend the committee policy to read no terms for ad hoc committees. What this does, to give you the status now, with this last change, all the ad hoc committees, which is the street festival, beautification, beach protection, citizens, well, we'll see about that. Well, EOC, the image assessment, marketing, SLAP, and stormwater environmental committee will have no set terms. What this leaves is community center and parks and recreation committee, because they were established by ordinance. In the ordinance, it specifically
says that they have 3 year staggered terms, both of those committees. It also leaves planning and zoning and board of adjustment with set terms, again, because they were established by the ordinance. There's no requirements by state law for P&Z, board of adjustment, or Parks and Rec that they have set terms or that they be staggered terms. So this is something that we have done by ordinance. It's my recommendation to you, it's my understanding from Community Center, which is our largest number of members, 11 of them, and the joint chairman, that they would prefer not to have the terms or the staggered terms. It's a lot of paperwork and a lot of keeping up with. It would be a simple amendment to the ordinance for the committee, Parks and Rec, and Community Center to amend the ordinance to just say no terms.
How many of them?
Parks and Recreation and Community Center.
Oh, okay.
P&Z Board of Adjustment, I mean, their set terms are different. P&Z is 5 years staggered. Board of Adjustment is 3 years non-staggered, and that's only by ordinance. There's no requirement by state law one way or the other, but I'm fine with leaving them as they are. That's only 10 members that we would have to track. But it would be my recommendation for Parks and Rec and Community Center that you amend the ordinance and remove the terms.
Stormwater
has no terms. But if you vote this tonight.
Would you rather put in there that they have no term limits or just dissolve it?
Dissolve.
Repeal it.
I would say no. Well, we could just take anything relating to terms out of the ordinance. The ordinance establishes a number of members on the committee, but we could repeal anything to do with terms or.
All right, I'll have to draft that and bring it back.
Okay. All right. Chuck, when you excuse yourself, we were going to. Oh, you sent in. Okay. We're going to disband the.
I've already spoken.
Do I have a second?
Okay.
Yes, a second.
All in favor?
What's the motion? Okay. What's the motion?
You want to make that motion?
Disband the.
Okay.
Which one do you want to do? She's got to get the notes right.
I'll make a motion that we can change that to no terms.
Wait, and I was just explaining that with the recent changes, we still have term limits for Parks and Rec and Community Center, planning and zoning board of adjustment.
I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the agenda from that Nancy has made. And with that being said, keep the repeat which ones were.
Community Center and Parks and Recreation.
Green Center and Parks and Recreation with the term limits. And no term limits for the rest of the committee.
So the only ones would be P&Z and Board of Adjustment. Is there a second?
Second. Okay. Second by Mr. Keener. All in favor?
Question.
Yes, sir.
I'm confused a little bit. Are you going to say that Parks and Recreation continues to operate the way they have been in the past with term limits then?
No.
No term limits?
No term limits.
Okay, do we need a provision to expel it? If the majority of the committee says somebody's not doing their job, they can expel you. They can get a term limit?
That's still in the policy.
That is in the policy. Mm-hmm.
Or if they miss 3 meetings.
Carry on.
And one thing that we found looking back through the last year, all the new members on the committee, that very seldom do we get a new person because somebody wanted to renew. If somebody wants to renew, they're pretty much automatically renewed. It goes through the process and comes to council. The only time we get somebody new on the committee is when somebody resigns. just takes away some of the paperwork. Okay, so there was a second, did you vote?
Oh, I didn't assume by saying aye.
Who did the second? I'm sorry.
Keener.
Thank you.
Himself.
Good. Okay, now we go back to number three, Stormwater Environmental Committee request for decision. Mr. Gordon.
I spoke to this briefly at the retreat. We've come up with four items, and we actually have a fifth that I haven't talked about yet, but that we would like you all to at least consider. The first is more free yard debris pickups, okay? And basically what I'm talking about here, at least at the beginning, is the kind of organic debris that you can fit in those paper bags that are sold at Ace and other retailers, okay? I think we had kind of a day where we offered that kind of thing to people, and I'm not sure how many took advantage of it. But the big reason we're asking for this is because I think a lot of people, they generate some yard waste. They have their 50 by 100 foot lots. They don't generate that much. And they say, shucks, I'm not going to incur a cost for that. They stuff in a plastic bag and put it in a trash can. And that goes into the landfill, and that's not what's supposed to happen, okay? The New Hanover discourages that. In fact, it's prohibits it, although I don't know how you discover it very easily because all the big bags of junk go in there and they can't find it. But it's not a good process, and it just fills up our landfill that much faster, so someday we're going to pay somebody to haul it to Virginia or something. And we would like to at least offer to the public or to the landowners that we, on certain Thursdays or even every Thursday, however you want to do it, that if you can fit it into one of those paper bags, okay, and put it out there, that they'll pick it up for free, because that should not require heavy equipment to put in the truck that comes around every Thursday.
Can we ask Sonny about this, since we're on the subject?
Do you want him to go on through? So I have a lot to say. So you want him to go on through each one of these, and then let me.
No, I'd like to ask you about this one. On the Thursday pickups, if people did put things in paper bags,
right?
How much trouble would it be not to charge them for the paper bags, only to charge them for large?
I don't have a bit of a problem with not charging anybody anything. I really don't. Right. I mean, that's up to town council and you know how we pay our bills here. The problem I have with this is that the way that we used to pick up the yard debris is different than what we've been doing in the past. We've had to change the process, the SOP. Back in November, I think it was November of 2011, we had an inspection from federal government on our leased property. Basically said that our lay down areas, which where we store the material, we cannot use that area anymore for that. So we've had to change the way we do things, and the way we did change it, we kept one of the old garbage truck in service. We pick up the stuff, we bring it back, we put it in the garbage truck, we pack it. Right now we're getting three weeks to 4 weeks of this debris in a garbage truck, then we take it up to a place off Sunnyvale, we drop it off, costs us about $100 tipping fees, but the problem is they want it clean. They don't want paper, they don't want plastic, they don't want it, because they use it for mulch and other things like that. So that's the problem I have with the bags. We'd have to start some other type of process. If we use the bags, I'm not sure what we would do with it. So there's the answer to that.
Are you picking up bags now when people use them? I mean, you do anyway, right? The paper bags.
What we're going to do is dump them out.
Even the paper bags?
Yes. So my suggestion on this one is to please put it in your garbage can. If you have a couple of handfuls of stuff or a small plastic bag, If you feel bad about the plastic, use one of those paper bags, fold it up, put it in your garbage can, we'll get rid of it for you. We're allowed a certain amount of stuff at the landfill, about 5%. I would say that we have very little of this that goes in, except for a few people around town that kind of abuse it. But we know who those are, and we try to work it with them. But that would be my suggestion.
Will we have a free day in April this year like we did last year?
Yes, and we're talking about doing it the week after Easter. We've had several people call us last year saying that it's a good week. They come down on Easter and they do some cleaning and whatever. So we're trying to give the people that don't live here year-round a chance to get their stuff out and do that. What I'd like to do is also tie in a electronic pickup the same week. I thought we'd try that this year. I don't think it's going to be a great big deal on this. Talking with the people with the county. We'll do the announcements, try to get it separated from the other, and get that picked up the same way.
Thank you.
Yes, John.
Well, my next item is more frequent non-recyclable material pickup. Okay, now in this case, I'm not talking about electronics and things. Okay, I'm talking about oil, paint, batteries, things of that nature that Waste Management won't pick up. And there have been at least one, maybe two days that the county has sponsored. You can take this stuff up to, I guess, the headquarters up on near Market Street. I don't know if they've had any others near to this island or not, but that's not real convenient for the residents of the island. We could prepare a resolution or whatever you want, but we would like for the town to ask the county to have more frequent non-recyclable pickups for people, particularly with paint. Everybody has paint in their garage up to the ceiling, some people, and some way to get rid of this conveniently rather than go out to 421 or up to Market Street or something like that. Subsequent to the retreat, I talked a little bit with Nancy Avery, and she said that Waste Management possibly could do this, although, of course, obviously it would cost money. I don't know if you've heard back from them.
No, they're still trying to find a vendor who will do the hazardous. They do have a vendor who will come in and do electronics, but it's going to run about $5,000. They would physically come here and be on site for 2 or 3 days, but we haven't found a vendor yet for the hazardous.
Okay, well that's one thing. It's just we feel like the county could serve us a little better given all the tax money we give them. So that is one thing we would like for the council to consider. The next one is recycling bins at the beach accesses. We understand they were there at one point. People abused them. They put diapers in there and everything else. But we feel now that we have our new recycling contract with the cans very clearly marked as to what goes in there, you know, even pictures if they're not perfect in English. And we would like as an experiment to put recycling bins at 2 or 3 of the accesses, and hopefully, of course, at the Oceanfront Park once that gets in operation. So afford visitors the opportunity to drop off their recycling material where it belongs instead of in the trash cans, okay? Because that has become a big thing around here to try to eventually recycle more than we actually throw away. So we would like you to consider that. The last thing on the letter I gave you was the dog waste stations. I don't know if Sonny has a comment on that, but we talked really briefly about that. We do have a couple of dog waste stations at the Joe Eats Park, and of course you will see them at the Carolina Beach Lake. You will see them at the Carolina Beach State Park. And one of the requirements of the stormwater permit that Sonny just sent in the renewal for is that you control animal waste, ground waste, okay? Obviously, we can't do anything about the wild animals, but we can do something about the dogs in the sense that we can put up these, at least a couple of more places, these dog waste stations where you can get the bag and perhaps even drop off the waste in a bin below. not a pleasant job for public works, I'm sure, but there is a lot of dog waste in the trash cans anyway, so we're just seeing, trying to get, I think most of the residents carry bags, but certainly not all of them, and we would like for the visitors to do a better job. One target I have for these waste stations is at the head, at the pump stations, the properties we own, you could put it on the road, say down here on Settlers or on 421 or something, people walk their dog by, they could get a bag and dispose of the waste property instead of just leaving them somebody's front lawn. So those are the things that we have asked you to make decide on. You don't have to decide on tonight, but that's things that's come out of it, come out of our committee. The last thing, which I did not speak to at the retreat, but I did say that the two things we were going to try to work on is education and maybe get some grant money. And we've looked at a grant called the Community Waste Reduction and Recycling Grant, okay, which is administered by DENR, particularly their Division of Environmental Assistance and Outreach. Particularly this fund has not been looted like the Clean Water Fund and others that we've looked at in the past and kind of decided it wasn't worth the effort. These are grants for to increase recycling, to try to reach have people and different venues that don't normally get recycling, okay, if possible. Also, education. We have the brochure, which Dean provided us at the end of our meeting, which I think the Beach Exit, Beach Protection Committee came up with, but it has all the information that a visitor would need to understand our regulations concerning, you know, dogs on the beach, how to recycle trash, all these sort of things. It's just a two-page flyer, and we want to try and, A, get some money to reprint that. We have passed them out at the Island Day celebration in September, our committee did, but I think we're getting pretty low, and we want to make sure that our hotels and other people that, like Ann back there that rents property, to have these brochures that she can hand out to any visitors to make sure they're educated on what we require. Another thing we want to try to do, and this is on the category of doing something unusual, we'd like to see about procuring what's known as a
Candy
bear. Yeah, well, I got. Okay, there's that. I have a color one that maybe shows it a little better. It shows the thing. It's basically looks like a log splitter with a bin on the top of it. I assume it operates on the same principle of a piston squishing the can. And this is a device that you could take to all kind of different venues. We could even possibly either loan it or rent it out to other towns and activities like the Budweiser Blast up here. God knows they generate enough beer for that. And things of that nature. Presumably by making these cans easy to recycle and get money for, it could eventually pay for itself. What we're looking at is a grant. Going for a grant of $1,000 for the brochure and $3,500 for the can crusher for a total of $4,500. The good thing about this grant is the money in kind is low. It's only you divide that by six, and I come up with $750, which would be what we would have to come up with. But we could even get other activities, perhaps the Island Women or somebody like that, to contribute some money towards the cause. And the problem is the time is short. I'm gonna have to have it in by March 9th. I may be asking for trouble because I don't know exactly the format. I've done grants before. Sometimes they're not hard, sometimes they're hell on wheels. So I don't know exactly what I'm getting into in terms of public paperwork, but I would like y'all's permission to go on and at least fill it out and try it for the grant. I didn't guarantee we'd get it, of course, because there are a lot of people on grants, but...
You need a $700 commitment from us?
Yes.
Not necessarily.
Well,
this was a tentative thing to provide to you guys because we just found out about this a few days ago, and I haven't even had a chance to talk to Sonny or David about it. We still need to talk to you about where we could store this, and we can store it outside. We would not expect Public Works to be responsible for it. It can be drawn behind a truck because it's on two wheels. And I think our intention would be to get volunteers to operate it, unless you guys are just absolutely dying to have fun to, you know, squeeze all these beer cans. I went to see it the other day at Monkey Junction, and the new one that the guy is designing, will the things come out not in circular funnels like you see in the pictures here.
Well, the color one has a square one there.
But in square ones that can squish 800 to 1,000 cans into a 12 by 12 by 14 square, so they're easy to store if you want to hold them until the aluminum price goes up a little bit more. The volunteers, we can decide whether to let the volunteers do it and the money goes back to Island Women, or we keep the money to pay for the gas in the machine, either one. But also the figure for that right now, we're touring between $2,500 and $3,500. It'll probably be $3,500, but Mo is trying to get the guy down a little bit lower. And also the gentleman who runs this grant program for the state would like to come down and talk to us about what we have in here and how it's written and everything, so that there would be no problem with writing it. He said two pages. There's no form or anything to fill out. And I have a copy of one that's very similar that we can just
Yes, Todd.
I believe putting the brochure out like we have it for beach protection, we did it a trifold, which is very good, and it does help
it's
out.
It's that same exact brochure.
Brochure that you wanted to make, that is a very good brochure. But to buy this machine to squash cans. Everybody recycles their own can in their own recycling bin. Where do you expect to get all these extra cans to recycle if everybody in town puts theirs in the green garbage cans?
Okay, for one thing, we have all of these festivals and special events right here on the island. We just had one, I won't mention the organization that had it, but they did not recycle the 180 cases of beer cans that they distributed that day. All of the events we have on the island, we could collect this with. If a group wanted to make an effort to collect them from residents in order to make money, they certainly could. But the biggest thing is every one of the things we have down there at Fort Fisher, the lady down there is very much on board with this, and the Chowder Festival, the beer festival, the wing festival, every one of them.
But if we put all those cans in our green garbage cans, don't we get money back from our recycling company?
No.
Don't
no.
We don't get anything back at all.
John, like I said, how much is going to sit down?
Sir?
How much does the town have to put in?
Well, I'm sorry, I got off on the wrong track. I put in here $400 for the town with the idea of going to Island Women for $250 that I don't think will be any problem at all, and Pleasure Island Foundation for the other $250. I also wouldn't mind talking to Carolina Beach if we're going to use it over there at their festivals. Let them kick in a couple of $100 also. But I would say for us, we shouldn't match it more than $400.
You had something else, Sean?
No, that's it.
Okay. Do I have a motion to contribute $400 toward this?
I have a motion that we approve submitting a grant, and if it's accepted by the state, we'll make a budget amendment, put $400 in.
Okay.
to fulfill the grant requirements.
Do you have a second?
Second. Yep, so.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, John.
And let me, one more thing for Tony and some of the other people that look very concerned. If we were to receive this, it would not be until July. So we can't start distributing those brochures until then. But we will hit the middle of the summer and the beginning of the season next year.
Yeah, the brochures don't matter where they go. It's beach protection.
Right.
Yeah,
right, and beach protection is very supportive of what.
All right, thank you, John.
Okay.
Thank you.
That for $1,000 will give you about 3,000 brochures.
Thank you. Craig, come on up and then move on. Thank you,
Brian. Okay. Lady, Mr. Mayor, gentlemen. I'm Craig Bolzinski, and I'm here tonight representing the Parks and Recreation Committee. And what we would like to do is get your approval for a resume of a no-cost intern to the Parks and Rec Committee for the town of Curry Beach. And I believe that is in the package. I do not know if you have a list of the responsibilities that we'd like, but I do have that if you would like. The young man's name is Thomas Bartoletto. And the interesting thing about this young man is he is not an atypical student. This is his second degree. His first, we can't talk about his age, obviously, but his first degree was achieved at the end of the 90s. So his first degree came about from Florida International. His Bachelor of Science from the School of Hospitality. It was August of 97. He's now going for his degree, his Bachelor of Arts in Recreation and Sports Leadership and Tourism Management. And he will graduate from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington in December if he successfully completes this internship. This is a mature individual with a lot of good work experience, particularly involved in working with equipment, working with customers, supervising individuals. If you go down through his resume, I think you would see that he's quite an accomplished young man. He was brought to our attention by Tara Duckworth of the New Hanover County office. They interviewed him, they brought us in. Gabby and I had the opportunity to speak with him. And he's excited about working in his town. He's excited about potentially being on the beachfront, being with, you know, working with the marketing committee, working with our local associations to deal with his child and other education that we want to get grants for. So he's a good candidate. What we need to do is let him know rather quickly, because there are other people who would be interested in him and he does have to make a selection. Now, normally this would start in May. Proceed for 12 weeks. He gives you 40 hours a week. It's his internship. We give him direction. There's no cost to the town, but it is his primary focus, his primary job. He will be graded on this. The grading authority will actually come from Tara and the county. We will provide daily supervision.
The Parks and Recreation Department of the county said they would work with us and help secure a person for this job, and they got some great oversight, and I would recommend that we hire this boy, or this man, excuse me.
So what is that? You said you had the list of duties, and I don't need the list. Just tell me in general. I don't need every line. What is
okay,
it? Specifically around working with kids?
Well, in general, the primary duties were to be in association with the Oceanfront Park.
Okay.
And in that, you were going to, we wanted him to help with the initiatives. We wanted him to handle daily service. Daily visitor service. We wanted him to do the administrative tasks, scheduling the classrooms that we would have and things like that. Volunteer recruitment and coordination, helping design these programs, and frankly, helping design the internship so that we can get this thing building forward. Without that oceanfront park, we would probably get him involved in other special coordination activities, potentially for the Creative Beach Sports Fest and for other things that we have going on in the summertime. Now, we can delay his start. The school has said they would allow him to delay his start if that's what we wish to do.
Yeah, the oceanfront park probably won't be finished until his internship is over.
Well, that's so, right. That's not where we were when we started, but that's a potential.
Well, the reason I'm asking, impressive resume. My one question is, can we do a background check, and then should we do a background check? Right. So, if any of the concepts, if he's doing something with kids at all, with all the stuff that's happened all over the place. So first, town attorney, can we do a background check?
Yes.
I know the chief can, but I think we should do a background check. And I'm fine with accepting him pending a background check because I'm very impressed with the resume, but I think that's the way we should do this, in my opinion.
I'm not clear without the park.
I'm sorry.
Without the park. Yes. We've got to build around the park. Without the park, what would we be doing?
Oh, we would get him involved in the other activities that we have and the other assets that we have. Right. We would get him involved in the tennis.
We've got the parks and recreation.
Yeah, the rest of the parks.
We're working for the parks and recreation.
Our intent was to guide him towards the education and use of Oceanfront Park, but it's not available. We have things for him to do.
I think if you want to do a background check on him, you ought to get him to consent to it.
I'm fine with that.
Anything? Okay. I make a motion that we hire the young man for the position contingent upon a background check.
I'll second that.
Let's use the word intern in that.
Yeah. Hire the young man for the intern position contingent upon a background check.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Could we also?
My one question is, do I need to do anything with that? Do I need to give you a copy of the resume?
Yes, please. Yeah,
could we also request that he come to our council meetings during his internship to let us know what he's working on and...
Absolutely. I actually should have given you that, but we described that. We all participate in the council meetings, in the committees, and in any other, as you record.
Yes, ma'am.
Two things. Number one, to answer your question, Emily, if he's not available, somebody from the committee will represent him.
Okay.
Secondly, how long is it going to take for this background check?
I don't know. It should take more.
Months, weeks,
months,
couple weeks.
Fine.
Is there a cost associated with the background check, and should the intern pay that cost? I know when I do background checks, they run me $35.
That's more about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
This intern is being presented to us through UNCW and through the county, so are we not certain that they have on time?
No,
they haven't. I don't know if they've done it. I could certainly ask
not, them. Not to his college.
Right, let's take a 15-minute break. Discussion and consideration of department head business. Administration of finance. Harlan, you're up. Administration of finance.
I didn't have anything.
Okay. Building department.
No. He's back there.
He's back there in the office.
Fire department. The lease department.
I don't think Sonny's got quite a bill. Later. So my time to him.
Up at work.
I just have one comment. I just wanted to comment that the closer it gets to retirement, the police chief is getting a lot easier to get along with. He's agreeable for a lot of things that a couple of years ago he would have never even thought about. So that's the one thing I'm going to bring back from this meeting tonight.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
John, building department.
Are you on department head business?
Not yet, then.
That was quick.
Discussion and consideration of old business. Cooperative effort between town and county for electronics pickup. Going once.
Sonny, you want to talk about this?
I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. I alluded to it earlier.
I'd like to talk about it. What are we talking about? I'm sorry.
Electronic pickup.
Oh, yes. What we'd like to do is we talked to the county. I think that we've got it worked out where we can drop the stuff off pretty much anytime we find that we build up enough to do it. It'd be the week of past Easter. Whatever that Thursday, it would actually be pickup day, but we usually start on Monday and finish on Friday. So I do have that thing somewhere, but I don't know where it's at.
The 12th?
That's it. The Thursday, the 12th.
Just Thursday?
Well, if you know about our free pickup, it starts on Monday and it ends on Friday, and we're still picking up on Friday. So that's.
So it's the week after Easter. And do we have a list yet from the county that we can
sure, make? Sure. What I'll do is I'll put together something. We'll get it on my. We'll give it to her, let her put it out on whatever that is, and then we'll get it to the Island Gazette with a list of things that. That we're going to accept.
Is this anything with a plug on the end? Or
I'm going to have to recheck with him. I'm pretty sure that anything that you can take to, I just put it like this, anything that you can take to landfill, we'll accept.
But they're not going to charge us for it.
That's my understanding right now.
Good.
Okay. So that would be bulk in on its own.
Ordinance regarding rentals used for weddings tabled from January 24th retreat at retreat building inspector Batson and attorney Canutis were directed to reserve whether private homes be rented by realty companies for weddings need a permanent license. And draft proposed amendment is in our box.
All right. After the retreat, Andy and I talked. And according to Andy, yes, we can treat a house rented as a seasonal tourist rental as a business. So,
if it's advertised.
If it's advertised, please.
Does that mean a sign in the front yard?
Sign, newspaper,
okay.
Whatever.
Internet.
Internet.
The one that's a problem is on the internet.
Right.
Okay.
Just about everyone that's rented seasonally on a weekly basis does have some sort of marketing on advertising your rental company, and then of course internet too. So we're back to this proposed ordinance, which was drafted with county events in mind, not just weddings. And so I incorporated weddings into the ordinance. Another object of interest is the driving force behind this ordinance was a certain property or properties that continued to have continual, almost weekly weddings at certain times of the year that caused many problems for surrounding year-round residents. This past week, I went and talked to the owner of that company, and according to them, as of 2012, they will not be conducting any weddings in any of their rental properties. Anywhere, including Curie Beach. They've got 3 more scheduled weddings that were already booked, and they are getting out of the wedding business. He does not want to deal with that anymore.
But my understanding was from some of the neighbors that it doesn't matter whether it's a wedding or not, it's just people there for the weekend or the week that are raising.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But, and that's why you see two separate ordinances right here. You've got one that's going to deal with the noise, and then you've got one that deals with the events that are being held within the county. As far as the rentals being used for on a weekly basis, and you've got tourists coming in and staying for a week, and you know, a good bit of partying going on, I feel that the noise ordinance may handle some of that, and that we've made a couple, or I made a couple of changes in there, and went over them with Dennis, and you'll see that they're highlighted in red there. Number two, radios and phonographs, etc. Not sure when it was drafted, but
long time ago.
The ordinance now says the playing of any radio, phonograph, piccolo, or any musical instrument in such a manner, or with such volume as to annoy or disturb any person, is not allowed. And so, I don't know. Andy, did you used to play piccolo?
No.
No, actually, but a town councilman actually didn't like a neighbor that has piccolo. Just like we have a number of ordinances that have like roosters in town because of a town councilman. So it's the same issue. Well, okay. Just keep going.
So anyway, in that subsection two there, you'll see where I crossed through phonograph and piccolo, but I added amplified system and band.
Right under piccolo again, right?
And at the bottom of that subsection, it says such nuisances shall be restricted between the hours of 11 p.m. to 10 a.m.
That's number 15, and right there, where he's got in red, including residences, I would strike operated as short-term rentals.
You know, Andy, I read over a couple more times after I talked, and I think I want to disagree with you on that.
Well, you disagree, but I'm just telling you, I would think I operated as short-term rentals.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And, Council, we're going to the next page, which is number 15.
Yep.
I'll tell you why. It's number 15 is business noises at night near residences. And so if we're going to treat short-term residents, short-term rentals and residences as businesses, that should stay in there as it is written. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that means then a residence will be exempted.
Correct.
Well, that's a business.
I understand that, but we can add a whole other section that has to do with residences.
Well, why do that?
If you take out operated as short-term rentals, then you're treating every residence in town as a
correct. Place. They make noise too.
Yeah.
If you feel like that's all right.
Sure.
So you want to strike that?
Yes.
And if you strike that, should it, number 50 not be business noises, but just noises at night?
Right.
So you should strike the first word, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we can do that too.
Yes.
Because I agree with Andy, if my neighbor's doing it, I don't care if he's renting it or if it's his son, after 11 o'clock I want him to stop. And if it's my son, Dennis can tell him to stop, right?
You're his father, dude.
Well, I'll tell him to stop. If the neighbor calls on him.
And the last part of the changes to this ordinance are previously the civil citation was $50, and we raised that civil citation to $250 for the first offense and a class 3 misdemeanor for the second. When Dennis and I went over this, he felt like it would be a good idea for us to get up with Troy Slaughter, our hearing officer, and we actually have a meeting scheduled tomorrow at 3 o'clock to go over some of this stuff, to find out if there's something that we can do to make it even better. So if you don't mind, I'd like to hold off on this till next month, pending that meeting tomorrow afternoon. And
then we're going to change the wording.
Okay. We'll go ahead and change the wording. For what Andy just went over.
There you go.
If you have any suggestions, please give them to me over the next couple of weeks. We'll take them into consideration also.
Thank you.
I have a question. Was this just the music, bands, and What else did you say? I'm thinking screaming kids in a pool at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Do you have a pool next year, Al?
No, but I have somebody that does. I was asking a question. Did that ordinance just deal with
you? No, ma'am, it's basically any noise that prohibits you from enjoying the comforts of your
home. Oh, okay, I didn't hear that part. Okay, please.
I just want to say thank you to all parties involved in such serious and thoughtful consideration of this matter. Very much appreciated.
I do want to give the one clarification is that, you know, as Chief Cooper and I have talked about, and I did with John a little bit earlier, was the fact that we're still talking about, you know, pretty much no noise, 11 p.m. until 10 a.m., but it's anytime it's extremely loud music or noise at any time, it's something that you can request assistance from the police to get things settled down when things are completely out of control. And I think that's still correct, Chief, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're trying to identify a way to gauge it, put a handle on it, so that there's some level of reasonableness in what's happening, because over the time, it's the same annoyance, it's the same two residents, it's bothered people to the point that almost anything now is, you know, sets off emotions and agitation. And so there's got to be some kind of a reasonable place where a police action is required. And that's why I want to talk to Troy. He's the adjudication officer, and I just want to get his input on that before we start charging people, because he'll be the one to hear it. And I want to make sure if we charge, it's a good charge, and everything's in place to pursue properly.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and I echo Barb's sentiments as well. You have to realize it's more than just, you know, the 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure,
you know, I'm standing out the front lawn with the police officers talking about the problem. It's every single day having to worry about what's it going to be like tonight and not being able to get to sleep and then not being able to get back to sleep. It's so it's a constant problem. So we really appreciate the efforts that are going on here very much. Thank you.
I totally understand where you're coming from.
I do. Thank you.
You know, at the same time, we understand that tourism is a very important part of the economy here and that reasonable accommodations have to be made. That rental agencies are in the business of renting properties. People come to the beach to have fun. That's all to be expected. And we do know that there will be some noise. And we understand that a certain amount of noise is part of where we live when you live on the island. That's definitely understood. It's when that line is crossed and people come over the bridge and think that anything goes at any time, then it becomes stressful. And the only other thing I want to say is the Curie Beach Police Department is incredible, absolutely incredible, to the person. He's very tall.
Very good.
John and Andy, on this number 15, you struck out business, so it's just noises at night near residences, but then it specifies which businesses. So you're still talking about a garage, filling station. We don't have taxis or plants or factories or things like that, but all of those are mentioned in there, and this doesn't address just noises in general next to a residence.
Well, give us a little bit of time after we meet tomorrow, and we'll bring you back a clean copy. Yeah, it needs 15 needs work.
There should be an ordinance on cars at 4 o'clock in the morning.
What about bikes?
Like somebody else in the back there is always driving around at 4
Just
o'clock.
Just go back to the event ordinance. I need some direction on where you want me to go with this now.
After your meeting tomorrow, maybe something more specific and give it to us so that we can vote on it next month.
That's
ready to vote on at their next meeting.
Well, that's the noise ordinance. How about the event ordinance?
Well, the special event on page 2, second paragraph. Second paragraph where it says no balloons or plastic confetti may be used as part of any decorations placed on public / private property. I think we're going too far on private property.
You consider that one of those condos is public?
That's a common area.
It's still private property.
It's private property, yeah. But,
the reason I placed that in there is because I've received multiple complaints, and even the Beach Protection Committee has complained many times about people using balloons.
I understand why you put it in, but I agree with the attorney. Yeah. We don't regulate private property. I mean, you either outlaw it, which is not outlawed, or you let people put it on private property.
Well, are we not having problems with private property? Is that what we're trying to do here?
Yes, it's part of it.
It is, but so you're saying I can't put a balloon on my house? You can't say that.
Or if you're well, how about have those birthday that party there? Or
I place balloons out there that they've had a birth.
That was, if I'm not mistaken, when that came up with Beach Protection, that was because of that particular wedding. It was all involving some kind of a gathering, like a wedding.
When I understand that.
Right. But a private citizen can do anything he wants to his house,
right,
which is correct.
But that means we have to take that out of
the room. So I guess John's bigger question was, do we think we still need a special events session? I think we do, because I think it'd be a good thing to do. And
we're going to need it for public property.
That's what I think.
Product.
That's exactly right.
And so, like I said, I still think this is pretty heavy-handed. I mean, do y'all think that? Do you want me to go back through this? Now, it doesn't appear that we may have as big a problem as we have had with weddings.
Well, if you're going to be in the wedding plan, you're going to have more weddings.
I think so. This requires a public hearing, right?
No.
But I mean, we have a special events application and process.
We do.
Do a permit. Do we have to put it in the ordinance, or can we just have regulations set for a permit?
What we have now is vague, if you ask me, and so I was actually looking forward to having something with a little more structure.
Yeah, I agree.
But we can tell somebody in a private residence having a wedding of 100, more than 150 people that they have to get a permit and they have to send out certified registered mail notices to their neighbors.
That's an idea.
Well, at least down that
way.
Right here.
When are we going to put all those cars?
On the street.
So I think the first thing is, it's a good question. What are we allowed to do and not do with this? And I know I don't want us to do it tonight because it's going to take us too long, but I think, and it'd be good to go through here and highlight at least where there's risk areas, right? So
right.
A 200 square foot tent on private property requires a fire permit. Is that with a fire code?
Yeah.
And you can control it?
I do now, all right. That's right.
So about 200 square feet, that's 20 by 10. Don't look at my backyard. I got to measure that tent now, but I don't think it's that
good. Micro tent party, that's it.
Yeah, no, but I'm just asking.
I would apply to Mike Roberts.
And so what happens if they don't get a fire permit?
Well, I mean,
right now, since you said it's required by the fire code.
The way that, right now, I mean, that if I can go out there and find them and then make them come in and get a permit.
What's the fine?
$50, and okay. Then the permit is $250. As of right now.
So if he does that on the weekend,
that's something else that probably needs to get looked at. Also, that ordinance we put in about 2 years ago as almost a stress ordinance, put it in because they're having such a problem with these huge tents on the ocean front being thrown up on Friday afternoon.
Well, I'm fine with that. That's on public property, but this is private property, and I'm surprised that...
No, it wasn't on private. It was on private on the other side of the...
In the Cameron line?
Yes.
Line?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My libertarian leanings are not liking this sound at all.
I understand that. I'd like to explain it to you more length.
I'll take it offline.
Right. We were trying to protect the dunes. That's what we were doing.
Yeah, that I appreciate. But there's lots more private property than the first row of the town.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the town's easy.
I didn't mean to slow us up. I'm sorry. Just kind of interested, I guess.
On the first page, the dotted paragraphs, the second one about the refundable deposit after the event. I thought earlier you had something in here minus the administration fee.
That's if, let's see, I do have that somewhere. I don't believe I took it out.
Well, there's a permit fee, so in addition to the permit fee, right?
I think I actually have that on the application, so I did prepare an application that would go along with this.
So if it says that on the application, do we need to say it in the ordinance, or is that just at our discretion?
Well, my intention was once we had an ordinance that y'all were okay with, I would create an application that would be go along with the ordinance as part of the ordinance.
Well, make a note of that. We'll look at it tomorrow.
Okay. And my other one on the second page, or at the fourth paragraph, about halfway through, it says for-profit vendors must be disclosed in the special event permit application and must be approved by the town. The event is limited to no more than 5 for-profit vendors. Now, I'm thinking about the Sports Fest. It sounds like they're going to have a lot more than 5, and even at our street festival, we have more than that that sell food. So how did you come up with the number 5?
That was part of another ordinance I pulled from another municipality. And I figured it would be raised at some point, but I just put it in there for right now. Like I said, this was a draft, and I expected it to be torn apart, so.
Do we need to have a figure in there right now? Because I'd hate for, you know, somebody to have an event and we have to go down there and close down the vendors because we've said you can only have 5.
Personally, it wouldn't bother me at all to strike that altogether because that event, if you're going to have a for-profit vendor, should be approved by council. And if y'all want to make that decision on how many in that council meeting, that's fine.
Well, it talks about, you know, if the nonprofit does it, then they have vendors coming in. I'd rather just strike it because it's going to get way too complicated to follow.
Striking that sentence.
Just the event is limited to no more than 5 for-profit vendors. And the whole thing about must be a sponsoring agency of a nonprofit. We've had here before and they don't necessarily support us.
Okay. I think we've got some work to do tomorrow, John.
Well, that's what I've been looking for. I've been wanting to get this one done.
For Mount Olympus.
So consensus of council is to table both of these items, be brought back to the March meeting, and to readdress the ordinance for special events to readdress private property.
Yes.
Yeah, well, is that...
Yes. And you make sure they're putting their packet before me.
They should have been.
They were, but next time
I would have right. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. Beach Protection Committee. Did you have anything else on the Beach Protection Committee? Leonard Lee Mill, Secure Beach Homeowners Association.
Yeah. If Sonny has agreed, hopefully, to pick up at 8 different HOA. The 9 of them for Ocean Dunes handled their own. But the 8 of them for that. Right. So the 8 unit pickups, if they all got, if they have to take the option of doing that, that's a buy the waste can, they don't have them, and put one down on the beach, and then you would agree to pick them up. And it's 8 new. So if you agree to that, and this letter's ready to go.
Well, I'll agree to whatever council would like for me to do.
Is there any concerns?
I'm getting close to retirement.
You're not that close.
The only thing, I'm concerned about is what I mentioned at the retreat, is that if Ocean Dunes decides that they want more than one, what is town council going to say? I mean, they have a lot of beach accesses that their residents use, and so where's the stopping?
You don't touch it.
So we're saying to hell with Ocean Dunes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can live with
that. They're on their own. They're already doing their own.
Okay.
So we're saying they pull it out to the road like they're doing right now, so they're not going to change what they do.
Okay.
But the rest of them are the ones we're asking about, right?
So 8 more is not going to kill us, and we just need to know where the locations and we'll set them up and go from there.
Okay. Good. All right.
Anybody else see the end of the letter that they don't go along with?
So will you go on the beach to pick them up, or they will pull them out?
Well, hopefully we'll do it on the beach like we do the rest of it.
Right.
So we'll put them on the beach.
So you don't have to go onto the
property? Well, we'll have to put the post down. We'll have to tie them to the post. Right. And we'll have to treat them just like we do all of our beach accesses on the beach. And
okay.
I hope they don't end up in the dorm in Carolina.
And I haven't read the letter, but I'm assuming that, I mean, that there's a cost to purchase the can and a cost to pick it up. So we should probably pass on to that.
That's up to town council.
Or is that going to be free? We're not going to charge them?
No, we charge for everybody else's cans, right? Anytime someone gets a can. Isn't that right, son? If I replace my can, I get charged.
Well, I don't know about you, Dave, but no.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
No, but seriously.
Finally, something.
We do charge for that, but this is something new that's going on the beach, and you know, it's just not going to be them using it. It's going to be whoever's on the beach using it. So that's another training.
So you're saying you're thinking it's one of our cans, really? We're just where we're placing.
That's what I would think.
I mean, it increases the coverage on the beach. It makes it more even to the beach, right?
Because
really, the north end is a little fallow of trash cans.
I agree 100%, and I think it should be a town thing. Okay. I don't think we should charge for it. And let's get them out there. And,
okay. Yeah. Then we can just tell them we're putting them out there, right?
Any other discussions?
I make a motion that we let the Beach Protection Committee to go ahead and send their letters.
Second. Yes, ma'am.
Discussion. Yes. Because your letter says to the HMA that they would provide a garbage can to be placed at your community.
Yeah, but the town will provide, so we need to change the letter. Right? The town orders
the first
sentence. Provide instead of provide, the town will provide.
Okay.
Empty this can instead of your association.
Okay. And if you already corrected that once, you can do it again.
Yep.
There you go. Good.
So we really need no permission for the town to.
I don't think we do.
Okay.
We're telling them we're going to do it, I think, but I don't think we need their permission because they don't own where their walkover lands.
Yeah.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
We're putting it on the beach side, so I'm pretty sure. I mean, we should ask them for their permission, but I don't think we need to do it.
There's other things they're asking about.
They started out in that letter.
They wanted them to provide it and do it, but you're right. We're back to what they provided.
But the other things we are asking them to do, so we still want to send a letter, right? Because the butt bucket, that's their own thing. That's not ours. And we're telling them if you get it, put it in the trash can. We're not emptying it. The same thing with doggy.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
That's what y'all had in the letter.
Right.
Yep.
So we need to change the first paragraph.
Yeah, the first paragraph is the one we need to change.
That town will provide your garbage cart.
So we'll take out the first paragraph and then the town will send a separate letter?
No, I think it'd be interesting. Let them know. We're going to be going to talk to them. We're going to be calling and talking to them. That should, it should be in there that we're going to do that.
I agree.
You want to do that motion again?
I make a motion that we allow the Beach Protection Committee to send out the letter with the correction that Nancy Cook will make in the first paragraph.
Okay.
Second.
All
right. All in favor?
I don't think it's
Lanier Parking Proposal tabled on January 24th. Yeah, so I haven't got with the town manager of Carolina Beach yet, but Arlen and I did sort of look at their proposal just to kind of do some math on it. And this is a rough draft. SLAP did not meet last month, so I'm just passing out to the council for tender review, but no action at this time. I think I still owe council more information at the March meeting. Kind of what I did and then had Arlen just kind of look at it to make sure I wasn't kind of crazy was look at the information they gave us with a rental per hour of $1.25 in the 443 spaces they talked about in phase one. Their gross revenues are $245,000. The capital expense is $247,000. And then if you look to the right of that, I basically just did, okay, capital renewal because this equipment's not going to last forever. They said 7 years. I used 5 years to be more conservative because it's on the beachfront and it's not protected by the berms like in Carolina Beach. That would require $53,000 a year so you can renew this every 5 years. And that's with 3%, which is what Arlen and I kind of thought would be the right number to use. So the net income before any capital renewal is $121,000. With the annual capital renewal, that's $68,000. So that's sort of the revenues to the town we're talking about. But that assumes a bunch of things which I can't verify. I'm gonna talk with Lanier next week just to ask some more questions. One, that assumes no residential passes, which I don't believe council would pass it that way. At least my feeling is we wouldn't pass it that way, which would reduce it. It also doesn't talk about what the impact is of pushing parking from the current 443 spaces to somewhere else in the town, either the other pad, other marked parking spaces, or more concerning to 3rd and 4th Avenue and people's what they consider their yards, which is really public property. And then if you look at their analysis up in the upper right-hand corner, if you do the math, that gross revenues turns out to a revenue per space of $553. Which means that they're assuming, if you say no fines, that every space is rented 443 hours. Obviously, that's not a good assumption. So I kind of did some rough estimates of how much of the portions of this is fines. And it's between 25 and 35% is in fines. So we're going to do this, and then 25 or 35% of the money is them writing tickets and then collecting fines, which is not really a positive thing in people's world. So there's more math to do, I think, and I'll bring that to council. I just wanted to give you the thoughts I've got about it right now. But SLAP hasn't reviewed this at all because they didn't have a February meeting. I want to take it back to them and then get their consensus before we do anything else with council. We've got time with the finance, I mean with the budgeting stuff, so bringing it back in March puts it in cycle with our budget to determine where we want to go. I think council needs to decide by the April meeting whether this is something we want to do or not, so I need to make sure you have the information you feel you need to make a decision.
Thank you. These 443 still include the beach access, right?
Yes, sir, they do. Yeah.
So it's like to separate the money, but that idea.
That wasn't in their proposal, but that's one of the questions we'll have to answer as council. So what my thoughts are is, you know, you guys send me notes that you have or questions over the next few weeks. Hopefully I can answer those at the March meeting and at the SLAP meeting in March. And then we can come back and talk more in depth in March. That gives us one more cycle to decide if in the April meeting, hey, this is something we're going to move forward in Carey Beach or not. That's sort of the timeline I think I'm looking at, if you guys agree. So that's my update.
All right. I'm going to table that.
Additional street lights in Fort Fisher Boulevard, Mr. Hager. Other works.
Sunny, additional lights on Fort Fisher.
Just wondering what council wants me to do with this. I'd be glad to get DOT down here. DOT don't probably really care how many lights we put out there. I know that Progress Energy doesn't. They'd be tickled to death. I mean, you know, what do you want to do? You want to light up all the sidewalk that we can. If you look at the existing poles, not too many more poles can be put in because there's no right of way. So we'd have to probably work with the existing poles. Many of them from E Avenue down to about I. From I Avenue down to K Avenue, there's not that many, maybe three or four at the most. So you're not going to get that much coverage there. And then on the north side, there's like two or three on the whole side over there. So you're not going to get any coverage there. So it's basically at the town council what they want me to do. I'll light up the world, but it's up to you. Some of the things that we need to be concerned about is every time we start talking about streetlights, we need to start talking about what the residents are going to feel about it. I mean, some of the locations that we're going to talk about putting streetlights, I mean, it's right in the window. I mean, it's in the house just about. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's going to be very close to a lot of properties on the east side of 421. So, you know, every time we talk about putting one stop a street light in the middle of a block somewhere in the central part of town, you know, we have all kinds of, you know, citizens saying, well, we don't want that or whatever. What are we going to get when we start putting them right there in? Because we have very little setbacks of houses there on the oceanfront, and we're going to be putting those lights there. Right there at their property. So there's some things that we need to think about before we jump into it.
This was a concern of mm-hmm. a citizen that actually fell, you know, between A and B.
Well, we get them falling all the time, and I understand that. But, you know, sooner or later we got to figure out, you know, one citizen complains or falls and gets hurt, is that something that we need to jump on to, you know, to try to light up the, you know, the expense, how we're going to do it, who else are we going to affect. You know, that's something that y'all have to decide. But like I said, whatever you want me to do, I'll be glad to do it.
I can only make a mention that technology, you can have Progress Energy come down and relook at the lights that they have. They have new kind of lighting that gives different, you know, radiant effects on the ground. Where we might have an old type that just gives, you know, 20 feet. They might have a new type, might have to go up a little higher, and that will give you 40 feet. Depends on the light and stuff. Progress Energy has all that information.
One of the other problems we're going to run into is there's a lot of poles on the existing poles on the east side are a lot shorter than the poles that are on the street lights that's on the west side. So that's going to be another problem that we're going to have with it. But whatever you want me to do.
Yeah, so I guess my biggest concern is we have these sidewalks that are marginal, and then we have poor lighting, which makes it worse, right? And, you know, I asked this at the last, when this was brought up, the town's now on notice about this. So if we do nothing and someone else falls, now we're on notice that we're liable. So I don't think doing nothing is an option. I think there's going to have to be some type of lighting. I mean, we could talk to the motel owners and ask them, is there any way we could put spotlights during the winter on some of their residences, they might be willing to team with us, but I think we need to do something, right? Because the real issue is the dark corridor from K to 2 Rows South, right?
Yeah, B.I. Avenue, which there's no poles.
I.J., right.
So that's where we're going to run the problem unless we do some ground lighting of some sort. Right. On private property, so we'll have to be looking at some easements or whatever. So, right. Not saying it's not possible, it is. I mean, we can, you know,
what
about the condition of the sidewalk? Will additional lighting help? Do we need the lighting because the sidewalk's in bad shape?
Well, so when we put in that sidewalk, we didn't meet all the requirements that are here today, right?
Yeah, it did not meet.
So that the sidewalk's been there for, well, I understand what you're saying, right? The sidewalk's been there for 20 years. We have somebody fall, now we're looking into putting lighting on a sidewalk. You know, I just understand, you know, the liability is something that he would have to say, but
Well, now we're on notice, but that particular incident with that lady, she knew it was there, so it was her fault. You should have seen what she was doing.
But I will tell you from the league standpoint, who has our property liability insurance, if we are on notice, we know about something, if we don't take any steps,
right,
then we are liable.
Yeah, that's one thing. I think we have to do something. The question is, what's the right thing to do?
Son, and I guess this addresses Tony too. Has anybody talked to Progress Energy about coming down here and giving us some recommendations?
Progress Energy will not talk to us until I talk to DOT, period. And so I can talk to DOT, have Progress Energy come down and talk to us and see what we can come up with.
And maybe give us some recommendations.
Sure.
And if they recommend that spotlights on the motels are the very best thing we can do.
Okay.
We only have 45 feet
through there. So is the consensus of council to ask somebody to speak to DOT and Progress Energy?
Yes.
Okay.
Or that's fine.
Part of that problem was that it was during the winter when the hotel was closed, so there were no lights other than the street lights. So making the hotel.
Well, they still have security lights up during the winter, don't they?
Yeah. They're pretty dark right now. If you go down there, they're really dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, Trump's talking. Consensus is to have Sonny talk to DOT.
Yep. I'd love to.
Appointment of the Montgomery County Commission on Women. Where is it?
Okay. I don't know if any of you have had an opportunity to see the email that I sent out this morning, but I contacted a friend of mine who was treasurer of this organization. I thought she still was, but she responded that no, her term expired, and apparently there were some issues with the county. They're having a big transition in board members and I guess officers, and exactly what they're supposed to be doing and not doing, and it's become an extreme frustration for the existing and former officers. And I know Carolina Beach and Wrightsville Beach have not appointed anybody representing them either. And I would rather we contact them and tell them that we would like to hold off on appointing someone until they have gotten through this transition period and can give us a better idea of what their goals are and exactly, you know, what they plan to do. Because I'd hate to just dump somebody in a situation that's extremely frustrating.
Do you want to write a letter to them and express our reservations?
Sure.
All right, consensus.
I saw the email on the public terminal, and I got the impression that the county was no longer associating themselves with this commission. Is that correct?
You mean the one that I sent to you?
The one that is whoever the treasurer was, I thought she said in her email back to you that the county used to support this commission, but they're no longer, they're only endorsing it. It's not an actual committee or commission of the county.
Exactly. And so this whole transition stage of trying to work with the county and deciding they're an independent nonprofit or, I think they need to work out all those issues first before.
And it isn't enough for us that it's not associated with county for us to just back away from it and say we won't have anything to do with it.
Well, let me see if I can find out more about that.
Okay. Okay, consensus is yours to write a letter?
I'll put a letter.
Yeah. Thanks, Kenny. Discussion and consideration of new business. Item number one, accept the resignation of Charlie Arlo. We have a resignation letter in our packet. I'll make a motion to accept. All in favor, see what's saying aye.
Can we find out the length of service for Charlie? I think we should recognize him in one of our meetings. I know it's been a very long time between council, PNZ, and all the other things he's done with the town.
Yeah, it's not Charlie's fault that he's having to leave. This is his vision.
But yeah, that's why I think we should recognize him at one of the future meetings.
Taking up.
That's fine.
Consider a request from Senator Wagley to be appointed as regular member or authorized clerk to advertise for regular member.
Does she want to be unanimous?
Yep.
As a committee.
So what's that note?
There's an email in there.
Josie Fitzgerald says. And she's already an alternate, so I think that's.
And particularly with Board of Adjustment, she's been through all the training, Board of Adjustment has to have a lot.
Is that correct?
Okay. I make a motion that we appoint her to the membership of Board of Adjustment.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
And then do we want to advertise for an alternative?
Madam Clerk?
Do we want to advertise for an alternative?
I had an opportunity to attend the TDA meeting last month, and frankly, I was totally blown away by all the things that they're doing as far as marketing with the little bit of money that we put into it. And I would like to ask the chairman of our marketing committee to come before our next meeting for the PowerPoint presentation to share with the other council members who may not be aware of all the things that are happening, the way our money is being spent, that Ann alluded to it earlier. We had a higher increase last year in tourists who stay overnight than the county as a whole and either one of the other beach towns. And I think a lot of it has to do with the wonderful job that they're doing, the new website that they have, the MMS you're being trained on, and websites specifically for Cure Beach. And I'd like for him to come give a presentation so all the rest of you can see how your money's being spent.
They're doing an excellent job. I had to get to the meetings.
Can you ask if they do that? They do it in raw dollars instead of percent? Because that it killed me when she was talking about it. It killed me with it. She's talking about, but this higher than the other areas is in percent.
Well,
it's not in real dollars, and we need to be careful about that because it's sending a weird message that.
Well, she did mention at one time that we were getting higher dollars than everybody else, and that absolutely is not true.
I know.
But what I can tell you is the town of Myrtle Beach is spending over $9 million a year for marketing, just marketing, and that's all. And their influx of tourists decreased significantly last year. Okay, the Outer Banks, I don't have the figures directly in front of me, spent about, say, over $2 million. The Coastal Carolina spent about $1.3 million. And even Carolina Beach spent $128,000. Okay? And still, their figures were not as good as ours. And they really had the hotels to pack them in.
And I'm saying,
while we're spending $32,000 a year.
I understand. And I'm just saying that when we talk about this, do it in real dollars, not percent, because it's easy to make a big jump in $200,000 versus $2 million when it's not the same. I think we're doing great. First, I don't want us to have $2 million in that because that means the beach will be overran. But it's sending the wrong message saying stuff like that. It's not really correct.
Yeah, we're not receiving $289,000.
I understand. That was the other thing.
I don't think the audience understood. We do not get $289,000 into our coffers. We don't get anything into our coffers.
Exactly right.
We have to ask them. But it's been an average of about $145,000 for the past year or two. And now it looks like it might increase between $15,000 and $20,000.
But even the amount that we get for activities, which is what was being discussed earlier, is not $289,000.
It's maybe about $145,000, and that may increase to about $165,000, which will cover some other things.
I'm not opposed to the whole setup. I understand. I was involved in the setup. I'm opposed to people overstating money.
Yeah.
Just as a general rule, when you do that, people think there's money to do stuff with that's not there.
And there isn't.
Right.
There absolutely isn't.
That's my only concern. Because now everyone's left, so all the people that heard that think there's $300,000, which there's not.
Well, Jerry will tell everybody when he goes out there. But meanwhile, I'd like for Brant to come in and give a presentation that's a lot more realistic. And we'll stress to him.
Well, you can key him that if he starts waving numbers up, that we'll call him.
Okay.
Appointment to WMTO.
There was one other thing she added, Durham Bulls, on this, and she didn't talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. One of the things that they have done in trying to attract more people from the Wake Durham County area is that they've gotten the Durham Bulls online with us. And during the entire month of April, every one of their home games, they will be displaying things on their big scoreboard thing about Curie Beach, and the announcer will be talking about Curie Beach during each one of the games. They'll be giving away a free trip to Curie Beach, and they would like for our mayor and anybody who would like to attend with him to come to a game so they can present you with the game ball.
Nice, you can throw the pitch
out there. See, you'll get extra balls here. We have to choose from in our 5 through 10 or 27 through 29. They did suggest that earlier in the month would be good because that kind of kicks off the whole month. They also have 20 tickets, so if everybody on the council would like to go, you may. And if we would like to invite the people on our marketing committee that have done such a good job with this, we can also take them. The first Saturday that's available is April the 8th, which is Easter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Using the tax money to try to get us up there for it, and then the idea of using it to ask us to sign on with them and that tax increase in Wilmington. I mean, this is too easy for me.
You don't want to go and advertise Curie Beach at Durham Bulls?
No,
we don't. You don't want us advertised at all up there?
No.
Okay, because we're not paying for the advertising.
That's fine, but the setup that they're going to use it as a venue to get people to support bringing the ball team in.
This doesn't have anything to do with our ball team. This was decided before Sappho even announced that.
Fine, hard to believe.
This doesn't have anything.
Okay, well, I'm not going to there yet.
Okay.
How about the rest of you? Do you think?
Can you send us information on it? And does council, Dean, I understand that personally. Do you have an issue with the representative going from the town, from the marketing committee or council? Okay. Send us the information. I don't know that I'll go or not, but I think it's interesting.
How about you, Chuck? What's your comment?
No comment. Okay.
Yes,
Sonny? I think maybe a town sit on the bull. I think that would
be
pretty
nice.
Idea.
Appointment to WMPO Comprehensive Greenway Plan Study Committee.
We did that
earlier.
Department head Tennessee Council meetings. What I had in mind here is if the department heads read that their department is going to be involved in any discussion, that they'll make a point to be here. Tonight we need the police department and public works. And John and Nancy, so they did good. The fire department was not represented. Harold had something else he had to do. So anyway, so that's enough said there. And 5, move payment box to location that allows vehicle access. Now, if we move it, this was on the council to-do list a couple years ago. I'm going to pick it up and move it across the street so you can...
Drive up to it.
Yeah, so you
can... Has anybody looked at the shape of that thing here lately? Mm-hmm. And we repaired it on and off through the years, trying to make it... my suggestion is that we look into actually purchasing a new one in ground type, or if we plan to put it on the back side of the curbing, or if we plan to put it in the parking area, we'll need some type of another type to put in with the post in front of us, and nobody gets it. So they make them, and you know, we're probably talking about somewhere around $1,600 to $2,000 to do this. But if we do it, I think that this one's about at it, is basically what I'm saying.
So. With what Sonny has said, how many of you approve of moving across the street? We have people driving up there in their station wagons and in their regular cars if they have a wife with them and put the money in, water bills in.
I think we should do it as part of the budget process. Is there any real need to move it fast? Is someone complaining? I mean, let's just put ask Sonny to make it as part of his budget process and do it then. Since he wants a new one.
New budget.
Yeah, the new budget proposal. Number six, town resident representative of WMPO bicycle pedestrian advisory.
Okay, I'm sorry. So that was a consensus?
Yeah.
That'd be for Sonny to put in his new budget to buy a new way to move it.
Yes.
And number four, that was a consensus for if the department head item is on the agenda that the department head attended the council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Now, do I need to read this again, or is everybody on board with this? Town representative, Emily, this is yours.
Well, did we send a letter to Paul and...
I sent him emails in the packet.
Okay.
I talked to him. He said he could not attend a meeting. I sent him an email asking him, telling him that council wanted a report from him on the status of what was going on with the committees and his position on the bike path, and I didn't hear anything about him.
And that all happened in February the 8th was when he said he couldn't attend, but...
We did not receive any information from him about what's going on with the bike committee. And in the year and a half I've been on here, he has never appeared before the council to report what's going on. Now we can wait until he comes to talk to us, or we can appoint somebody else in that position.
He does not follow council's wishes as far as his representation on the committee. I don't think anybody on council would name it, you're new.
Right.
But Chuck was on here and Emily was on here, and we voted to keep it out of the adjoining property behind the houses on Settlers Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a problem with that, or him being represented at the meetings, then we can vote to replace him, or we can vote to leave him there and let him go to council and have a meeting.
So I don't like to replace him without hearing from him. Yeah. One way or another, email or phone or something. I mean, that little line to say goodbye.
Yeah, I'm with Chuck. I think that, you know, we should direct the town clerk to contact him and let him know he needs to come to the next meeting, or we're going to consider that as resignation and move forward to replace him.
All right.
I mean, that way he knows, okay, I got to make it. I mean, he didn't, you know, on the 8th of Wednesday, according to the email chain, she said, please send me something in writing since you're not going to be here. And that's plenty of time for him to tell us something. And if you looked at his attendance, it was really good until the second half of the year on the bike ped. But then he's missed the majority of their meetings since July, when I think his one was shot down in Carolina Beach, right? So, I don't know. If he wants to stay on, he should tell us that, or we'll just replace him. But that's what my input to the council.
Since you make a motion to contact him by mail with the said commission that he attend council meeting and report
the next council meeting.
The next council meeting and report to the council as his feelings and what he has said to represent the town council.
Yeah, or consider that a resignation, and we'll move forward to replace him.
Okay.
That's my motion. Yes, sir.
Okay. Have a second. Gentlemen.
Could you say that?
Second.
Okay.
Well, Chuck said second.
All of
I had
thought.
I called
third time. I'm going to say aye. Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Yeah.
Was there a second?
Second,
yeah.
Was
there a was there any enthusiasm?
No.
No.
I got fair enough.
Yeah, that's your opinion, but what's going on? Gotcha.